The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Thursday, March 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, police in Philadelphia and Upper Moreland Township, Montgomery County, are searching for a missing armored van driver who vanished last month. The man was last seen on Old York Road when a traffic camera recorded the white, unmarked armored van that had James, also known as Jimmy Bootler, in the while he was driving on the job. The 30-year-old Northeast Philadelphia resident was reported missing on February 23rd when he didn't show up for work at the Fast Cash and ATM teller in Willow Grove. An undisclosed amount of money is also unaccounted for, but detectives say the quantity is not life-changing. The family says that this is out of character for him to vanish like this. Detectives are exploring all possible motives. The van is described as a white Ford E350. There was a rash of ATM explosions in Philadelphia last year and thefts of machines, most recently 3 days ago from a convenience store in Tacony. The family is desperate to find Jimmy and have also turned to social media hoping someone has seen something.
Looking at a picture of this, I don't know that I've ever noticed an armored van before. I know armored cars, obviously, they look really obvious, but this looks like
somebody.
Looks like a regular van. Yeah.
I think he was, they said he was traveling I guess that's the armored car, too. Like, he was going to the ATMs
and collecting
the cash. So I guess that is the same thing. But I was thinking maybe it was something different.
Yeah, they look a little different. They look like a normal van, but I guess it's armor plated and got all kinds of security, you know, locks on it so on. But
I didn't realize that existed because I was watching them empty out an ATM at the CVS yesterday. There was a Brinks truck. Yeah. Mm.
So the family says that he always carried around cash in the van with him. And, you know, they're wondering, was somebody watching, you know,
right.
and they have him or he's hurt. The family is desperate to find out any information. So anyone with information about the whereabouts of Jimmy or the location of his van, you're asked to contact either the Upper Moreland Police Department or the Philadelphia Police Department. Or if you see something, they say call 911. Behind the counter of Skipak Pharmacy in Chuangsville, owner Mayank Amin has been working late into the night since his independent drugstore received state approval to administer COVID-19 vaccines in late January.
I know that guy. It's Dr. Mack.
Yes, Dr. Mack, known as Dr. Mack.
Yes.
There are thousands of emails to sort through and phone calls to field, supplies to organize, appointments to schedule. Known as Dr. Mack, like Preston said, he set up a vaccination clinic on Super Bowl Sunday at a local firehouse and drew more than 1,000 people who kept their appointments for shots despite the snow that day. The 36-year-old pharmacist sometimes wears a Superman costume when administering the vaccinations and occasionally will drive to patients who can't leave their home, so he'll administer it to them right there in their own home.
Attention was brought to me by our photographer, Brian Miller, with Chorus Photographer, BM Miller, because he's been chronicling Dr. Mack
all right.
since all this has been happening. And so he's been really making a name for himself in being very, very vigilant in making sure that as many people as possible can get these vaccinations when they need them.
He's working extended hours, like
big
crazy
time.
Hours.
And it's a whole family thing. Right. Like, his whole family's involved, and he's a member of the Indian community. And there's a thriving Indian community out in like Skipak and Harleysville and all this, and everybody's on board and helping out, and it's really, really cool to see.
So, in general, do you have any idea how many people are processing through?
I don't
every
know.
Day.
So, 3,000 people have received first shots of Moderna and Pfizer through Skipak Pharmacy so far. After securing a large supply of vaccines, the pharmacist said that he plans to run several clinics this upcoming weekend. So he's going to add to that.
And it's a little pharmacy.
Yeah,
it's a small little private pharmacy,
right.
Like in a strip mall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can contact the pharmacy for an appointment. Montgomery County has one of the highest per capita vaccination rates in the state. According to the State Health Department website, Pennsylvania ranks 28 out of 50 states with 18% of residents getting at least one shot, according to the CDC. Dining Under the Stars is back in media.
Yeah.
The crowd took over State Street on Wednesday night for the annual tradition. The event will happen every Wednesday until September 30th or as long as the weather permits.
You love that case, right?
I do, what's so funny? For as much as I love it, I've never... never gone. I love the idea of it.
I am the same way. Like these first it. Fridays in Phoenixville and some other places.
Love it.
What a great idea. And I've never been.
So here's the deal. We all worked in media for a long time. Yeah. And we watched the resurgence of State Street. And it started with Iron Hill Brewery, which is, you know, in State and Monroe. And it just... It just permeated all the way down the street. And that street is just, Kathy, and I'm going to say something nice about Bucks County.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's like Bucks County.
It's like, no, there's Doylestown. Only one little, tiny little spot. Doylestown, right? And so it is the, it's the county seat. And it really, it's so cute. State Street is so adorable. And so obviously.
Totes adorbs.
And I heard, I went and got some coffee, and they were saying at the coffee place, oh, yeah, they're bringing back Dining Under the Stars
Everybody was, like, really excited about it. People were bummed. Obviously, last year it didn't happen. And people were, I know, they were saying they wanted it to happen, like, through the pandemic. Once the restaurants opened, like, why not do Dining Under the Stars?
It seemed like the thing that could happen, which didn't make sense. So we'll call that water under the bridge now.
Right.
But the fact that it's coming back, and especially... You know, as the weather starts to tick a little bit better, that's going
to
be great.
And I wanted to give a shout to the 320 Market. They brought us our...
Are they on State Street?
They're on State... So they started in Swarthmore, and they have a market in Swarthmore, but the place on State Street is more of a restaurant. So that place took more of a hit during the pandemic than the place in Swarthmore did.
I've never told you about the strawberries that you gave us, which were so
kind. Oh, no. What happened?
I left them on the roof of my car.
Oh, my God.
Pulled off the parking lot. I was so excited. And
Nick, you idiot.
I know. I am such a moron.
At what point did you realize that you left them on the roof of your car?
When I got home.
Oh, man.
I was carrying
so much
stuff.
Man, the squirrels in my neighborhood have gotten really fat.
Oh, bummer.
I was so pissed, Casey, because it was such a kind gift, and I was so excited to eat them. And I'm like, nope, never going to happen.
Oh, wow. So residents dining outside said it was much needed after a trying year. Last year, everything was closed down, so Dining Under the Stars didn't happen. Each Wednesday, the street closes down at 5 p.m. for seating beginning at 5:30. Dining wraps up, and the street reopens around 11 p.m.
They need to take advantage of that all over the place, because they do a similar thing in Germantown, on Germantown Avenue, down by about a mile from where I live. And it's awesome. I have walked down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a mile away. I have to go do it. But, it's just cool.
Yeah. And the thing is about that street in particular, when you close it down, it doesn't ruin anything. It's not like, oh, my God, I got to go all the way.
Media is proud to be a part of Mask Up Media and asks that all visitors wear a mask in and around the business district. A mask that covers the nose and mouth must be worn at all times until seated at a table. In sports this morning. Both the Sixers and Flyers were off last night. The Sixers returned from the All-Star break with a game in Chicago tonight against the Bulls. Because of COVID safety protocols, the team will be without both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, even though both players continue to test negative.
What the f*** is this?
Embiid is expected to return tomorrow and Simmons on Sunday. Tip-off for tonight's game is at 8 o'clock. The Flyers will look to build on their win against the Sabres the other night when they host the Washington Capitals tonight in South Philly. The Flyers in the Flyers shootout win over the Sabres, Carter Hart was pulled for a third time this season. Through 15 outings, Hart is 6-5-3 with a 3.61 goals against average, while Brian Elliott is 7-2-0 with a goals against average of 2.29. For tonight's game, the puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock, and it'll be broadcast on WMMR. And at spring training, the Phillies beat the Tigers 6-4 yesterday afternoon in Clearwater. Brad Miller went 3-for-3 and hit a home run to lead the offense. The Phillies are at it again this afternoon with a game against the Yankees. And the first pitch is scheduled for 1:05. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. I'll read this text. It's at the top of my board right now. It says, oh, my God, this sunrise is amazing. I have to share with my favorite radio station. Thanks. And that's Cindy from Delco, by the way.
Nice.
Delco!
I think I'd throw Cindy the special Delco salute. So thank you, Cindy. We appreciate that. Nothing like a beautiful sunrise to get started on what is going to be a beautiful weather-wise day. I covered it earlier. 73 degrees are high. Fantastic. We do have a couple of guests on the show. Robert Irvine will be joining us. Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible beginning new seasons tonight on the Food Network. And Dinner Impossible is back after 11 years. It's returned.
It's crazy.
So Irvine's the best. We'll talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour. And we also have a gentleman named Ryan Airy, who is from Screen Crush News. These guys are geeky tenfold, beyond us.
Even. Yes.
And what's wonderful is they really dissect and break down all kinds of really cool genre stuff that we love.
I end up not watching their videos until after I, you know, you got it. There's lots of spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
But the stuff is great.
Yeah. And Easter eggs, plot yes. Lines, yeah. All this. They cover it all. So we love that type of discussion. So we'll be talking to him 9 o'clock. Kathy's going to lead that.
Yes. She'll be doing a TED Talk.
And I know I'm forgetting something. I know we have several other things going on, but we'll get to it all as we get underway. So let's take a break, come back in a second, and I do have an entertainment report all set up for you as well. Some stuff to give away with the stupid question. So make sure you hang with us on that drive-in this morning. We will be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, I want to thank listener Rita Afelani, who had... She sent us these a while back, but since we got a Flyers game tonight, I figured I'd mention this. And Marissa was... Said she got an email requesting if we had gotten these, but she had made these Flyers masks for us.
Yeah, oh, cool. I wondered who brought those.
Which are really well done. They're awesome. So, Rita, thank you. We love the masks. She even made smaller masks for the ladies who have a more petite face, possibly.
Do they have giant head masks over there?
You know what? They're elastic. Okay. So
you can tie two together.
Okay, we can make that work for you, Nick. But thank you. And Flyers play the Caps tonight on MMR. Tim Saunders and crew. And are we sending her a shard out?
Yeah, why not?
All right, a shard out for the mask. So thank you, Rita. We appreciate that.
Second here, and there you go.
Brought to you by U.S. Digestive Health Colonoscopy. Yes, our shards are sponsored. Beats cancer. Schedule your screening with Pennsylvania's most experienced GI network at usdigestivehealth.com. All right, I have a stupid question to ask and a prize to give away. Digital download of the film Pixie. And the question I have is this. In the TV show South Park, the character Stan's dog is played by what well-known actor who's a huge fan of South Park? 215-263-WMMR. The TV show South Park, the character Stan's dog is played by what well-known actor who is a huge fan of South Park? Call now if you know the answer. I'll mention birthdays while we're waiting for that call. It is 6:30.
What?
Well, it's 6:36 a.m.
Yeah.
It's also March 11th.
That's both.
See, yeah, nothing was wrong about what you said.
Yeah, it's 6:36 on March 11th, okay. Everybody.
And it's Thora Birch's birthday today. She was the teenage daughter in American Beauty.
She was also in a whole bunch of other stuff before that, right? She's a little girl in like every movie that was coming out prior to that.
Oh, like Air Force One?
Clear and Present Danger and Patriot Games.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Different Harrison Ford action movies. Yeah.
A couple of the Ryan, Jack Ryan roles. But she took a break. She decided to do further education and kind of stepped away from acting.
She blossomed with a vengeance. I know that. Yeah.
She is 39 today. Sam Donaldson, the journalist, is 87 today.
Oldest Vulcan working in news.
He is definitely a Vulcan, yes.
Okay, is he also the inspiration for Sam the Eagle in The Muppets?
Because that's been a rumor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've heard that mentioned a couple times.
He's 87 today. The great Bobby McFerrin is 71 years old. Everybody knows Don't Worry, Be Happy because it was a huge, huge hit for him. But I was a fan before that came out because his vocal styling is just the first time I heard him, I'm like, what is this? And it was all a cappella and it was all overdubbed, just his voice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had that before that because that song, Be Happy, actually would often make me very angry after a while because they played it so much.
They did beat it.
Yeah,
into
beat the crap
ground.
Out of it. But then when you heard all the stuff, the other stuff he was doing and how complex it was, it's really cool.
He's amazing. Yeah. And I thought for a while I thought he lived in Philadelphia, and I really wanted to get a chance to meet him and maybe interview him. But it just
his new project he's doing the Wagnerian Ring trilogy with chicken farts. Preston.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, he does have a song called Chicken, believe it or not.
Yeah,
it's in my list of music. He's 71 today. Rupert Murdoch, the media mogul. Big birthday for Roop. He's 90 today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. 90 years old.
He's an Aussie, is he not?
Just rolling in dough. I believe that is the case. Yeah. Melbourne, is where he was born. Then you have Johnny Knoxville, and a big birthday for him today, too. He is 50 years old.
50 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're it's amazing to see them still trudge on. They're doing Jackass 4. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Bam is not a part of that.
Right.
By the way, Casey, have you talked to... Knoxville and Bam cool now? Because Bam was railing against Knoxville and felt betrayed and the whole collective. I don't know where that stands.
I don't know where it stands either, but there are other people in that camp that are still, because I watch the interactions on Twitter.
Right.
Not Twitter.
Instagram.
And, people are liking photos of one another and they're responding on each other's posts and stuff like that.
Did anybody see the Steve-O interview with Bert Kreischer?
Didn't.
They sat down together and Steve was just saying how much he cared about Bam. Bam is as often as his own worst enemy. And he was talking about it candidly about Bam's mistakes, but it was in a very caring, loving way. So
that's for sure. Because bizarrely, Bam was instrumental in getting Steve-O straight.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. So he turns 50, like I said, today. Also, the twins, Joel and Benji Madden of Good Charlotte, are both 42 years old today.
So Nicole Richie and Charlize Theron, respectively, right? No, not Charlize Theron.
Cameron
Diaz.
They both start with a C.
Yeah.
And they both look alike.
Yep. So they are 42 today, Joel and Benji Madden. Mark Metcalf, who played Niedermeyer in Animal House.
He was great.
He's also on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He was, In fact, he played a real badass, like the big evil guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he was really good.
Twisted Sister.
Twisted Sister, that's right. Yep. Okay.
So he is 75 today. Joey Buttafuoco.
Oh, my God.
Lover of Amy Fisher.
The pride of Long Island.
Yeah.
Nothing cast Long Island in a better light than the Amy Fisher, Joey Buttafuoco romance. In fact, the motel where he used to take her in Bar Harbor was about 3 miles from where Claire and I lived when we got married.
Deborah Jo, was that the wife? Deborah Jo Buttafuoco?
It was something Joe. I don't think it was.
No. What is her name?
I don't know where I'm getting Deborah Jo.
No. It's you're close.
Something Joe.
Yeah.
It is.
All right.
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
Mary Jo.
My little Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
But you used to see them, like my family also was from Long Island, and they would see them out and about, the Mary Jo and Amy and
she him. She stuck by him, and everyone was saying, no.
I'll never forget, she was being interviewed, and half her face works, and she's going, I love my Joey, and my Joey loves me. And I'm like, wow, man.
Come here. Let's go behind the curtain. Let's talk for a little bit.
She got shot in the face.
Yeah.
Joey Buttafuoco is 65 today. Terrence Howard, Philly guy in our region.
Yeah, saw him at Panera.
Yep.
One of the greatest days of my life, Preston.
You saw him at Panera, and then Casey, did you see him at
Guitar Center?
And Kathy saw him at Blinds to Go.
No, I saw him at, I forget the name of the place, but it's a lighting store, basically for like chandeliers and high-end lights. I saw him there. And I was like,
I like Terrence Howard, but he scares me a little bit.
The word is, we know, like, Victor Fiorello wrote that article about...
he's been arrested several times.
Yeah, a couple of things in his past.
He's a wife beater.
You can look at him and see pushed to a certain, over a certain line, he can wig out on you.
Like, if you don't get his you pick too quickly enough, he'll beat the piss out of you.
Fortunately, he got good service.
Yeah, at the Panera,
There was also something, I forget, it was around the time when that article came out about him and physical abuse and all that kind of stuff, and they, like, added on to it. There was some sort of, like, real estate issue in Conshohocken. He owned this house across from a park that I go to all of the time. I see the house. I still look at it, and I'm like, that's the house. But it was, I think his brother may have lived there, but then the house went into foreclosure. It was under his name. Like, it was some weird real estate problem.
So what's he doing now? Is he actively working? I think he didn't take a little retirement.
That I'm not sure of, Steve. I mean, but man, you see him in tons of movies.
By the way, he was really good.
He was really good. Fantastic actor.
He, you know, he did some stuff with Oprah, and his he thought, okay, during an interview, let me just talk about her tiggle bitties. Like, dude, this is Oprah.
Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Have you seen the turd cutter on her?
He's 52 today. And then the last birthday I'm going to mention, and I have to do it in the voice of the great Harry the K, Harry Callis. Bobby Abreu celebrates his birthday today. That was one of the best names to hear Harry say.
Oh, yeah. I'm that sure he Mickey had his favorites. Yeah.
When you read it, when you read his name, when you read Bobby Abreu, you hear it in Harry's voice.
Yeah, Bobby Abreu played for the Phils from 98-2006. And he celebrates his 46th birthday today.
I believe he's on their Wall of Fame now.
Okay.
Last year or the year before he was inducted, yeah.
All right. Happy birthday. Everybody celebrating birthdays today. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In the show South Park, the character Stan's dog is played by what well-known actor who is a huge fan of South Park. And we are going to go to Josh to see if we can get an answer. Hey, Josh, good morning to you, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Wonderful. Josh, who's the actor we speak of from South Park?
George Clooney.
You're correct. Hold on, Josh. We got you with a digital download of the comedic action thriller Pixie, starring Olivia Cooke, Cole Meany, and Alec Baldwin. Pixie Hardy is on a path to avenge her mother's death and attempts a heist that will allow her to leave her small town life behind. And you can own it now in digital and on demand, rated R, from Paramount Pictures.
You know how they say Gotti was the Teflon Don? Mm-hmm. South Park is the Teflon show. I was watching, I guess they're doing a marathon. Maybe they're leading up to the new season or whatever, Preston. But the stuff they get away with blows my mind.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to start with the royal family, which we have been for a while. Meghan Markle formally complained to UK broadcaster ITV after Piers Morgan slammed her on the air. The Good Morning Britain host, of course, has since left the show permanently after storming off the set over criticism of his behavior. The UK's Office of Communication received more than 41,000 complaints in one day over his behavior, prompting a formal probe into whether his behavior violated any broadcasting codes. Meghan reportedly was not personally affronted by the attack, but is concerned over the mental health of viewers. After the broadcast, ITV released a statement saying, following discussions with ITV, Piers Morgan has decided now is the time to leave Good Morning Britain. ITV has accepted this decision and has nothing further to add. Piers had repeatedly expressed doubts after Meghan told Oprah Winfrey in a bombshell interview that she had suicidal thoughts, among other things. Meghan's pal, Janina Gavankar, meanwhile, backs up her story. She said of the Queen's formal statement in response to the interview, I'm so thankful that they are finally acknowledging the experience. But on the other side, I know that the family and staff were well aware of the extent of it. And though their recollections may vary, ours don't, because we lived through it with them. And there are many emails and texts to support that. Queen Elizabeth, by the way, sticking to her word and reportedly quizzing senior royals about claims Meghan and Prince Harry made. The pair claimed in an interview that members of the royal family shared concerns over their son Archie's skin, whether it would be dark or not. Oprah later said that Harry told her off camera that it wasn't the Queen or her husband, Prince Philip, who made those comments. So the Queen is supposedly looking into that. Tiger Woods is in good spirits and may be discharged from the hospital soon. According to Ace Showbiz, Tiger's friend, golfer Rory McIlroy, said...
Is that his bestie?
I don't know if they're besties, but they're friends.
Yeah, they're
friends.
Super tight, right?
Yeah. Said that Tiger is feeling better and maybe transferred to his home in Florida in the next week or so.
He missed an opportunity to get up to the podium and say he's feeling great.
He told Jimmy Fallon he's doing better. Hopefully, if things go well over the next week or so, he might be able to get home and start recovery at home.
I wonder what the prospect is.
Yeah. Well, if he's been in the hospital this long.
For him returning to the course.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know.
Well,
like,
not this year.
Yeah, it's just when
by the end of the week, they're saying.
When you hear about an accident like this, it always sounds and looks awful, right? And then you realize that he's been in the hospital for as many weeks as he's been in it.
I didn't even realize he was still in the hospital.
Yep, neither did I, and that can't be a good sign.
Yeah. Rory added that Tiger is still trash-talking from his hospital bed. He said, even from the hospital, he's still giving me some heat. I think just all of us are wishing him a speedy recovery at this point. Ryan Murphy is responding to claims that he isn't following through on promises made to Naya Rivera's family after her sudden and unexpected drowning death in July. In the way of the accident, Murphy promised the Glee star's family that he would start a college fund for her then 4-year-old son, Josie.
Do you remember? I think you mentioned saying this.
Yeah, but on Tuesday, her father, George Rivera, tweeted, "Everyone needs to know what Ryan Murphy really did or didn't do. I'm about to blow up this story and make sure he knows that I know." He also complained in conversations with fans on Twitter about the, quote, Hollywood elite and broken promises, fake outrage, hollow gestures, no phone call.
Insubordination!
Insubordination! Polaris yesterday.
Insubordination!
Murphy responded on Twitter. He said, "Myself, co-creators Brad Falchuk and Ian Brennan have committed to create a college fund for Naya Rivera's child, Josie, through the Naya Rivera Estate Trust. We have been in repeated conversations with the appropriate executors of her estate." So he says,
"So why don't you slow your roll, dickhead?
They've been working on it. The kid's only 4 years old.
Right.
So
come on.
I don't know.
Where is it?
So, yeah.
I think someone's looking to buy a car.
That's kind of the vibe I'm getting to." Paris Jackson quickly shut down speculation that she's dating actor Emil Hirsch.
There've been a lot of pictures of them together, though. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Are they just buds or what?
Well, that's buds. What she's saying. So the rumor mill started churning when the 35-year-old actor shared a picture of them and wrote, "Hiding out with you." When commenters opined about their 13-year age gap, she weighed in. The comment reads, "Yeah, me too. She's only 22 and he's 35, to which Jackson replied via E! News, "He's actually one of the youngest homies of mine. One of my best friends is in their 50s. You probably don't have friends older than you because elders may find you annoying or immature."
The last thing you want is for your relationships to look creepy.
Oh, my God. She said, "Not to mention another close friend of mine.
My dearest Paris.
Another close friend of mine is 76.
No, that's awkward.
She said, "Age is a number. I enjoy the company of people of all ages. I am the student and teach of..."
You're the student and teach of what?
It says, "and teach of people from 5 years younger than me to 50 years older than me."
Father often said, "I am to be teach of people."
I think maybe she says, "I am the student and teacher of
people." Okay, and they got it wrong, which they do so often, yeah.
Yeah, than me to 50 years older than me, nothing wrong with that.
Paris Jackson has incredible eyes, and I don't know, well, who knows really what happened in that family, but
right.
She's got some of the most
amazing
eyes I've ever seen.
I just think of Michael when I look into those eyes.
I think if you were just 10 years old.
Did you watch that show that she...
No. I thought you were going to say Leaving Neverland.
The one that she did. Wasn't it on, like, YouTube or, like...
Was it a music show or was it a reality show?
No, I think it was about her. I had it written down to watch it because I'm still so interested in her and that whole story and what happened to those kids or what they saw or what they know.
I know she appeared with Michael on American Chopper. I know that was...
It's an impressive hog.
Anyway, I was wondering if she, like, revealed anything in that show, but I guess not.
Could you imagine that episode?
Get your motor running.
No.
Make it go vroom.
Fucking chopper.
No, what?
Oh, my God.
Maybe it was... What? No, Unfiltered.
Oh,
it was her show?
Okay. It was a Facebook series. Paris Jackson and Gabriel Glenn.
Was she the host or was she the... Or were they just... I don't know. I heard the name, Kathy. I completely believe you. I just don't remember what it was about.
I'll read you the summary on IMDb. It says here, "Unfiltered, Paris Jackson and Gabriel Glenn follows the launch of the Sound Flowers. Paris, of the daughter of Michael Jackson, must overcome her insecurities of living under the shadow of the Jackson legacy in order to find a voice as a musician and woman. Coming together via their shared traumas, the Sound Flowers set out to make music that will change the world." So... is that scripted or I don't know?
I don't think
so.
That's
why
I think that's why I wrote it down, because I wanted to know if she gave any information. But clearly at this point, I think we would have
heard about it. I'll tell you what has been consistent through all the kids. They adored their dad and defend him.
I know.
Heartily.
Right. She later posted a meme on her Instagram story of a man in a mask chasing a person reading, "Is that your new BF? P he just taking a pick with Guy? Okay, I don't get it. Anyhow, I'm moving on. Matthew McConaughey is apparently giving real thought to running for Texas governor in 2022. According to this interview, during an appearance on the Balanced Voice podcast that premiered yesterday, the Texas native said, when asked about the idea, it's a true consideration. The Oscar-winning actor was asked about potential political ambitions last year in an interview, and he said then, look, politics seems to be a broken business to me right now, and when politics redefines its purpose, I could be a hell of a lot more interested. So whether he's serious about it or not, I don't know.
He's a lot more thoughtful than you would imagine. Like, he has some good takes on things. Very even, very fair-minded. I like the stuff he has to say.
Yeah, I'd be interested in checking out that that memoir.
Yeah,
I don't think it's... Is it a biography or an autobiography?
It's
his memoirs or something like that.
I have no idea. Ah, hell.
His musings, whatever you will. But I wouldn't mind diving into that, because he's a compelling guy.
He is. Yeah, I like him.
Adele and Simon Konecki have finalized their divorce nearly 2 years after separating.
She has to give her pink lady jacket back.
The Grammy winning singer and Konecki, not Konecki.
Oh, I'm sorry.
waived the right to seek or obtain any spousal support, and they also agreed to joint legal and physical custody of their 8-year-old son, Angelo.
I hate to say this, but when I first saw the picture of them together, I knew it wasn't going to work. I don't want to be superficial. I just don't. There was nothing coming across in the picture from him. She's kind of like very, you know, full of life and empathetic and so on and so forth. And he seemed like a cold fish.
Sometimes you can tell. You know, maybe this means that in a year or two we're going to get another really good Adele record, because she's going through another breakup.
The couple announced that they were going their separate ways in April 2019 after 7 years together. They cited irreconcilable differences as a reason for the split. But according to People, Adele and Konecki have been living across the street from each other in Los Angeles.
Go to hell!
As they co-parent their boy amid the coronavirus pandemic.
Hi, Eddie. Hi, David. Go to hell!
The source said they're doing what's best for Angelo.
Where's that street in England, Preston, where the... in fact, they show it in Bohemian Rhapsody when Freddie Mercury goes. He's looking for the guy that he met at the party, and it's that sort of... All the houses are white, and they're
they're
beautiful houses, but they're very close.
Yeah,
the street is very shallow to the other side.
It's like a canyon.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but they live across the street in that neighborhood.
You couldn't elude your neighbor.
The source said her son is her world. And Adele has been linked to British rapper Skepta. Amid her divorce. Do you know who Skepta is?
No. He was in a band with Sepsis.
With Sepsis. And Septa.
Septa.
There's a three-way.
Yeah. It was great.
Septa was the guy that drove Septa the van.
Septa always drove,
Yeah, so. Hence his name.
So stupid.
Fans are getting their first look at Macaulay Culkin's role on season 10 of American Horror Story. Ryan Murphy shared a shot from the set featuring Culkin and Leslie Grossman posing on a beach in fur. Both Murphy and Grossman posted the pic with the caption, "Something wicked this way comes."
Leslie Grossman, you said, is her name?
Yes, sir.
She's awesome. So in that 1984 version of American Horror Story, she's just an over-the-top, solid character actress. But she can be funny and menacing all at the same time.
Nice.
I prefer his brother now. I don't know.
Well, let's give him a shot. Yeah. It's been a while since he's been away from... when was the last thing you saw Macaulay Culkin acting?
Ooh. That's a good question.
You ever seen the movie Party Monster?
Oh, my God.
He's really good in that.
Yeah, he is. It's disturbing...
A homicidal club kid.
Yeah, that was pretty messed up. Is it Kieran Culkin you're talking about, or McCulkin?
I think Rory is the one in Succession.
Is it Rory?
I might be wrong.
Wood Culkin.
Who's the one?
There's also one in Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim. I think that's Kieran.
I don't know. So if the dude from Scott Pilgrim and Succession.
Kathy's has your cooking show, and our entertainment show is, we don't know.
I'm wrong.
I don't know.
Kieran Culkin, you're right, is the one in, he's in Succession and in Scott Pilgrim, and he's a really good actor.
Yeah. I prefer him.
Yeah,
you prefer him.
That's
my favorite, McCulkin.
I think it's a good psychological test. Which Culkin do you prefer?
You guys have favorite Culkins?
I do.
All right, I'm going to show you a picture of three Culkins. Tell me which one you prefer and why.
I think he's got more comedic sensibilities. I just have a hard time watching Macaulay talk. He talks weird. Like his face. It kind of bums
his
me out.
His mouth moves all the time.
Yeah, always moving when he talks.
Kieran was in Cider House Rules as a kid.
Cider House Rules.
He was one of the kids in the orphanage.
Which he was also in Home Alone, wasn't he?
Yes.
Kieran?
What?
Yeah. Was he one of the which was the kid in Father of the Bride? The brother, the little brother.
I haven't seen that movie in ages.
I think that's Kieran.
Yeah, I think Kieran played Fuller, the kid who wets the bed in Home Alone.
Fuller House.
Okay. Or was that Gary Busey?
It might have been Gary Busey.
I don't remember.
I listen. Okay, why don't you read me a story? I will read you a story, but you've got to get in bed.
Go potty first.
So Rory was in Igby Goes Down and continues to act some of the Scream movies, but the kid in Father of the Bride was also Kieran.
Okay.
So Kieran is my favorite Culkin.
All right, now we
me
know.
Me too.
Now we know.
Kieran is the John Barrymore of the Culkin family.
Yes.
All right, so moving on. Other stories. Michael B. Jordan has opened up about his why he decided to go public with Lori Harvey.
Steve Harvey's daughter.
Is that who that
is?
Okay. In a new interview with Men's Health, the usually private actor said, for all the success that I've had, here's going to be negative. There's going to be negative reactions and opinions thrown at me. And that just comes with it. When you're younger, you're just frustrated. But you start to realize that this is what it is. You start to understand. And I'm never going to make everybody happy. He said, people are always going to have their opinions about me. People can make up something completely false. It has no effing substance or anything. And there's going to be 100,000 people that are going to believe it, and there's going to be their opinion of me. I can't do anything about that. And I've just got to accept that and keep moving in my purpose. That's a healthy attitude to have.
He's directing the next Creed movie.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. He said, people that know me know my heart, but people that know me for my work, they know what I allow them to know. The fact that I've been so closed off about a lot of the parts of my life was a personal choice, and I've gotten older and a little bit more mature and comfortable in my own skin. I've become less concerned about it.
How old is he?
You know what? I don't know offhand, Steve. But as Steve said, he's going to be directing the third Creed film, and according to Deadline, the film will debut November of 2022, and this will mark his directorial debut. I got to believe that Stallone's going to give him some guidance for that as well. So
Stallone's working on a couple of things that look pretty cool, Preston. There's one where he's kind of like the old, almost like in the Clint Eastwood film. Was it El Camino?
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Right.
Or no,
Prius?
No, Cutlass Supreme.
Gran Torino.
Yeah.
That same sort of grizzled old is forced into helping somebody.
Okay. By the way, is he 33, Nick?
34.
Yeah. So the title of the article said fit at any age, and you imagine how hard it would be to be fit at 33.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. And by the way, all three main characters in the Creed movies are in the Marvel universe.
It's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got Valkyrie, you got a Ravager.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about Valkyrie. She's the wife, the girlfriend.
Wouldn't you love to see an exploration of the Ravengers outside of the Guardians?
I'll bet that is something they're considering, maybe as a TV series, because you could go on all kinds of ravaging experiences. So, yeah, I think that would be cool. Let's see. Speaking of that, we'll go with this. The CW has cast its live-action Powerpuff Girls pilot, and there's a connection to the Marvel Universe in there. Disney's Descendants, Dove Cameron, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Chloe Bennett, and Jagged Little Pill's Yara Perrault will play adult versions of the animated superheroes.
Dove Cameron's a perfect choice for a Powerpuff Girl.
She will play Bubbles.
Yeah.
Bennett will play Blossom, and Perrault will play Buttercup.
I assume we're all Descendants fans. Kathy, are you?
No.
No?
We never did
all three
this.
Movies?
We never did
you
it.
You didn't cry or sing along?
I don't.
You didn't do the dance moves?
I did. I don't think I saw it.
It's fun. The Descendants is a fun little trip.
I think I tried.
Into the world of Disney.
And he, wasn't into it.
Yeah. Maybe not. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can see that.
I mean, it's not as good as Camp Rock or Camp Rock 2. But
yeah, I'm out on that, too.
As kids, the trio were superpowered by Sugar Spice and Chemical X. As adults, the series finds the girls disillusioned with their superhero past. Of course, a new crisis calls them back in action. Diablo Cody and Heather Rainier wrote the pilot, which Maggie Kiley directs. Bennett has superhero credentials as Sky, a hacker revealed to be an Inhuman on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cameron, of course, played Mal, the daughter of Maleficent in Disney's Descendants films, and Perrault was in the Broadway cast of Jagged, for which Cody also wrote the book based on Alanis Morissette's songs.
Well, you know, Dove Cameron was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a brief period.
Oh, I didn't know
so,
that.
So, yeah, they were both going at each other. There was no lesbian scene, but there was a big battle.
It's a big lesbian scene.
Huge lesbian scene.
They were going at it.
Yeah. Let me see here. One last story, and then we'll wrap it up. Universal snagged Rob Zombie to helm their upcoming new movie based on the Munsters.
I showed this article to my wife last night, and she does not get the Munsters.
No.
And I adore the Munsters.
Yeah, me too.
I love the Munsters, and I love the Addams Family. Now, she loves the Addams Family. And Rob Zombie, Preston's the perfect choice because he's a huge Munsters nerd.
Yeah, neither Zombie nor Universal has commented on the rumors yet, but Murphy's Multiverse reports that the production is set to kick off in Budapest in early May. Sherry Moon Zombie has reportedly been cast as Lily Munster, while Jeff Daniel Phillips will play Herman. Our buddy Daniel Roebuck and Richard Brake have also been cast in undisclosed roles, along with Jorge Garcia.
Oh, that's awesome.
Lost. And Cassandra Peterson, Elvira.
You know, Daniel Roebuck and Jorge Garcia had a great scene together in Lost. A very climactic scene in Lost.
Yes, you're right.
You got a little bit of arst on you.
Yeah. Dude, you got some arst on you. NBC tried to revive the show back in 2012 with Brian Fuller's Mockingbird Lane, starring Jerry O'Connell and Portia de Rossi, but the series never happened.
They did another version. Do you remember the actor John Shuck?
No.
Do
not.
He was in a ton of stuff. If you see his face, you remember him.
Okay.
It was not good. You need a specific Taken. You need a specific set of skills to play Herman Munster.
Correct. All right, let's get to clips. In sometime other than now, a father drives cross country to reunite with his estranged daughter and falls in love with a motel manager along the way. In this clip, director Dylan McCormick reveals his subconscious inspiration for this film.
It actually first kind of appeared to me in a bit of a dream, a half waking state that happened many, many years ago. I was asleep in my apartment in Brooklyn, and I started waking up, and I was in this kind of weird state, and these images just kept repeating themselves over and over and over again. And I had no idea what they were or where they came from. And nothing like that had ever happened before, and nothing like that has ever happened since.
You sound insane.
Sometime other than now is streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Here's the next clip. In the new Disney Plus film, Flora and Ulysses. Ulysses is a little rescuer who has a knack for helping 10-year-old Flora and the people in her life come back together. In this clip, Matilda Lawler talks about what makes her squirrel sidekick a superhero.
I think it's very special because he's not like saving the world or making this like huge, big life and big difference in the world, but he's really just really helping Flora's family and bringing them back together.
Flora and Ulysses is now streaming on Disney Plus. You can see that if you haven't. And that is what I have. That's the entertainment report. We're going to have Robert Irvine on the show today because it is the return of Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible tonight, both of them on the Food Network. We also have from Screen Crush News, a gentleman named Ryan Airy who will be joining us. So we'll nerd out with him big time. We're going to take a break and come back in just a moment on the super warm, extra awesome Thursday. We'll be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's artist is Brett Talley. Brett Talley, your Local Shots Artist of the Month. Check him out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword, Local Shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
So the name Lou Ottens probably means nothing to you on the surface, but it actually should.
It's tattooed on my ass, actually.
It's
my tramp stamp.
You're a big music fan, so yeah. I understand. Lou Ottens is the guy who put music lovers around the world on a path towards playlists and mixtapes by leading the invention of the very first cassette tape. And he passed away at the age of 94 yesterday.
It was
in the Netherlands.
It was a revelation.
Yes.
So I go back. I'm one of the earliest birthday gifts I can remember, Preston, was an old reel-to-reel tape recorder with the old style microphone and the, you know, and the whole thing. And that to me was amazing. And you could get about, you know, a couple minutes worth of tape. When the cassette came out, what it did is it allowed you to, you know, to put together your own mixtapes, to create your own collections of things. And also allowed me to start recording, you know, comedy bits and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And but the different states that you went through with cassettes, you know, for a while, it was not uncommon to go get a pack of, I got to go pick up some cassettes. I got to go get,
Maxell's and
TDK.
TDK,
yeah, absolutely.
And then sit there by the radio
and
waiting
for your song.
Yeah, man.
And I remember, Casey, yes. one of the big scores was Bruce Springsteen from a live concert on NEW New York. And I had that. And then, God, yeah, and you wanted that one song. It's like, oh, come on.
I told you guys, the radio station I grew up listening to in St. Louis was called KSHE 95. And on Sunday nights, they had this program. It was called The Seventh Day. And on the seventh day on Sunday, they would play albums in their entirety. Mm. And that's what you heard what the lineup was. You got your tape ready. And you didn't have to buy the record, man. It was awesome.
And it's funny because, like, even in like the early days of Napster and all that stuff, there was the controversy. With the cassettes, there was that controversy as
there
well.
There was.
Because you were basically stealing albums, yep, or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Preston, there was I forget which station in New York had it, but they literally called it the Tapers Alert. Mm. And that was totally designed for you to go get and put together your own albums the way you wanted them.
Oh, my God. I remember the cassette player that I had in my bedroom. It wasn't like a traditional one. It was big. It had big, huge speakers on the side. I think it was transitioning from cassettes to CDs, so I had both. So it was really loud. I could play loud music. I took it to college with me. Like, it was great. And I'm pretty sure what I did was I put the CD in and would play it. So I would borrow CDs from people, and then I would hit record on the cassette player so that I could make a mix from somebody else's CDs. Yeah.
My first big purchase, like as a quote unquote young adult, when I was like 15 or 16, was a boombox with a double decker cassette.
Yep.
And a CD player. So I could do exactly what you're doing, Kath. And it was all about making mixtapes, but you could also record off of the radio. But Steve, like, I remember, you know, when you would save up for those Maxells, like, they were expensive.
They were. So you get like a 10 pack or something.
Yeah.
You'd wipe out your paycheck for the week. I'm older. I remember when I got my first boom gramophone.
Okay.
And that was so wild.
But a good sound.
It's big. I had to crank it as it was going along. But no, those cassettes meant everything. And then with that came all the accessories, like the classic briefcase-looking cassette case, where you look like you're you know, an executive, but all of it was your music.
But I remember, and it did matter what quality you got.
Because when I
would want to get something really good, I'd get the Maxell 90-minute chrome cassettes, and they were expensive, and you'd really have to buck up if you wanted to get the good quality.
Those TDK was worked. Good, but yeah, the Maxells did have a good ad campaign.
So let me tell you a little bit about this guy. Ottens was a talented and influential engineer at Philips, where he also helped develop consumer compact discs as well. He died this week, the cassette tape was Otten's answer to the large reel-to-reel tapes that provided high-quality sound but were seen too clunky and expensive. He took on the challenge of shrinking tape technology in the early 1960s when he became the head of new product development in Hasselt, Belgium, for the Dutch-based Philips technology company. According to filmmaker Zach Taylor, who spent days with Otten's for his film called Cassette, a documentary mixtape, he said, "Lou wanted music to be portable and accessible." And Otten's goal was to make something simple and affordable for anyone to use. As Taylor says, he advocated for Philips to license this new format to other manufacturers for free, paving the way for cassettes to become a worldwide standard. But first, he had to invent it. Trying to envision something that didn't yet exist, Otten's used a wooden block that was small and thin enough to fit in his pocket as the target for what the future of tape recording and playback should be.
So he said that is the size of what he wanted to achieve.
Hmm. The result was unveiled to the world in 1963, and the so-called compact cassette quickly took off. It was a sensation from the start. Otten's told Time in 2013 on the cassette's 50th anniversary, He was born in 1926. He went from building a radio for his family during World War II. It reportedly had a directional antenna so it could focus on radio signals despite Nazi jamming attempts to develop technology that would democratize music. Ottens was famously unsentimental about the invention, though. That is that is accounted for some 100 billion sales. In a career devoted to seeking higher fidelity and advancing technology, he dismissed tapes as primitive and prone to noise and distortion.
He was right.
He knew its fault.
Yeah.
True to their do-it-yourself roots, though, cassette mixtapes have long been a favorite of punk and rock fans, but their legacy also looms large in hip-hop, where aspiring rappers and producers have used the approach to showcase their ability to chop up other music and create something new. The mixtape ethos has survived and even thrived despite the move from magnetic tape to CDs and digital formats. Nearly 20 years after Philips introduced cassette tapes, Ottens helped the company develop compact disc technology for the consumer market, with Sony to settle on a format that would become the industry standard.
Didn't Lou Turks, back when, you know, during like the Day Strippers, didn't they just have a boombox on the thing that...
I'm not sure.
Okay, because I had never been there.
Is that mentioned in this article?
I don't think it's mentioned in the article. But Casey did wheel something in here that looks like a beverage cart from an airline.
Yeah, I'll have a margarita, please.
I had Casey, I said, man, there's got to be like a boombox or something around here in the building somewhere. And he found not really a boombox. It's like a mini stereo system that has a cassette player on it.
Yeah.
And so the reason I bring this up is last night we had a conference call and I mentioned that that Lou Ottens had passed away, the creator of the cassette tape. And Kathy goes, I think I have some mixtapes laying around. So she brought in a bag full of mixtapes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
We don't have those in there. We have a different mixtape in there right now. Where's your bag of mixtapes?
What do you mean? You don't have what and where?
I have my mixtape in there.
Oh, yeah, I have them right here.
Oh, okay, okay.
I got them over here.
You brought a mixtape too?
I brought one in on Monday. I didn't know we were going to do it. I didn't know Lou was going to die. Yeah. So I brought one in because it was labeled Dad, and I thought maybe my dad's voice was on the tape. But no, it's just it's dance mix.
Some hip-hop work that he did.
Okay. So I figured let's play around with these a little bit. Now, I don't know if this even works, guys.
I know,
Yeah, we are literally just trying this for the first time.
I'm trying to see where the play function. This isn't like I was hoping for like a standard, you know, old school boombox, but
oh, it's
okay.
Not.
This is like an office.
Is it this?
Yeah.
To hit play. Okay. Yeah, I just heard it clunk. Hang on. Yeah, I got it turned up here.
Oh, there you go.
This is on Casey's mixtape.
I think you made this for your dad.
What is this?
Dad, this is dance mix.
Know. You don't know what music this is?
Probably my sister.
Oh.
It's actually a pretty nice boombox.
Yeah, it is, right?
Well, it's clearly for somebody's office.
Yeah, it's all got right. Good sound, though.
Hang on, how do we fast
it's
forward?
It's a Sony.
Okay, so it looks like fast forward is here.
It's got the energy star
on
there.
No, that's the tuning. Oh! You hear that? You hear that noise?
That's a blender.
No, that's it fast forwarding.
Oh, you can sit on it.
All right, how do you stop it? Okay, here we go.
We're going to break this person's antiques up.
That's the same song. We've been fast forwarding that long.
All right, so I'm going to hit fast forward.
It's horrible.
Look at how fast it's fast forwarding. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's like it's playing.
It's almost like it's antiquated technology.
That sucks. Hang on. I'm gonna try and fix this. Hang on a second here. Let me...
Anyone have a screwdriver? Let's fix this unit that we don't even own.
Hang on a second.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that move?
Yeah, you had to go to technical school for that, right?
Yeah. He fixed it so that it doesn't close now.
Now it won't close.
Oh, no, nice job.
I think I broke it.
Oh, come on.
Preston.
I didn't hit that part of it.
No.
So what is that? Bill Burns going to come in today and go, where's that stereo unit my grandmother gave to me on her deathbed?
You broke it, dude.
No, look.
Hang on a
second. He has to hold it down.
Don't let it go, though.
That's the same song still.
Is
it? Because it won't. Let's try fast forward.
It's terrible.
Hey, I fixed it.
So shut up.
It's working. That sounds fixed.
No, you should see how fast it's
is
going.
Is it? All right.
Yeah.
It
sounds like it's right. Eating
it's making
the tape.
Noise, but it's fast forwarding.
Guys, the tea's done.
Wow, that's
oh
not
my
annoying
god, that's
at all.
Horrible.
All right, hit play now.
I don't know.
Okay, I want to move on to Kathy's mixtapes.
Yeah, Kathy's are better.
So it's not making noise.
Oh no.
Yay. No, that's good.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, throw it off the roof and let's see if we can fix it.
It's fast-forwarding and it's not making noise, so.
But this music is kind of Preston's jam a little bit.
It is?
Yeah, this is like, you know, the, of the era where you were on...
You had no idea this was your jam.
Wow. In the Kenny Knight days.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Hang on a second here.
Oh, all right, do you have any idea who created this and what it was created for?
No.
Let's try it. Let's try Kathy's mixtape, because that's got some emotional...
Yeah, so the mixtape that I gave you... Actually, did I mention it yesterday? Remember, I made a mixtape for a guy when he broke up with me.
Right.
Yeah, we brought it up yesterday.
We were stunned that the guy had broken up with you, but you were pining for him, and this was an attempt to win him back, yeah?
I don't know.
Or just
I don't
to rub
think
it
so.
In his face.
I think it was like, here. Oh, okay.
I slept
we're
going to
stay friends. Here you go. And
oh, wow.
I gave him this. But what? Oh, Casey has it.
Oh, okay. All right.
But the mixtape starts with... Chopsticks by Liz Phair and ends with Respect from Aretha Franklin.
Stop it, really?
Yeah. Look at the case, Casey. Oh, all the songs are written there.
There you go. Okay. That's Chopsticks from Liz Phair.
Yeah, that's great.
I think it plays at the wrong speed.
Oh, are you serious?
No, it's fast forwarding now.
Oh, I wonder why.
So, you know what? What we're getting wrong is the features on this thing.
So the guy obviously was very busy, and you were certain he only had a little bit of time to listen to it.
Now we're just hitting. Where did you get this from? Whose is this?
It doesn't belong to a person. It belongs to an entity, and that entity is our sales department.
Oh,
I think.
Oh, okay. God. So they use it for... Wait, they wouldn't use it for listening to air checks, would they?
No, air checks, no, anymore. No. Yes, but I think what you can really take away from this is that... listen, I've used it. I've punched stereo equipment to get it to work.
All right.
This just didn't work.
Yeah,
it's not working.
Hang on a second here.
Hey, wait. No.
We need to do a name that tune with this. See if we can figure out what song that is. Hang on.
All right, hang on. I fixed it, I think.
Yeah, I just want you to know, I always want to be your friend, and we can always get out of
you. What'd you do?
I just fixed it.
What did you do to fix it?
I unplugged it.
He unplugged it and plugged it back in.
Oh, yeah, that...
Yep, that's fixed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is my jam.
Dude. I miss you.
Somebody's got to have one, like, in their office. Like a little.
All right, let's stop this because it's... can we find a regular boombox?
We did.
We tried.
We tried.
What do you mean? Not a regular boombox. That's a stereo
setup.
This is
all he had. It's all he could find. We don't have a regular boombox.
Bill Weston doesn't have anything?
How are you going to get into his office?
Throw a chair through his window.
Who has a boombox with a freaking
Chuck
cassette
does. I
mean,
Chuck
on
has
it.
One in his office.
All right, take a look. Let's go through Kathy's.
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
This is her. We've broken up, and I'm sending you this to just whatever.
Yes, I don't. I just know that my girlfriend Kelly, one of my best friends, she did it when a guy broke up with her. So she was like, "You should do this," and I'm like, "You know what? Yeah, you're right." So I don't know what my thought process was. Right.
I'm curious if you thought, but there was no attempt to get him back with the emotional impact of this?
Maybe.
Yeah, because that's usually, when I did one, it was for that purpose.
Yeah, okay. So maybe that was a little bit behind it. But you know what? I wasn't like really into relationships in high school. So
no.
I was like, he broke up with me. I was like, all right, cool. See you tomorrow at school. Like, okay. I didn't really care.
Wait a second. He broke up with me. Where's my Liz Phair album?
Kathy, you got some good music on here. Some good bands.
But
anyway.
Isn't it funny to read some of them?
All right, so Chopsticks from Liz Phair. I don't know the song, but apparently
super
it's depressing. Crowing from Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I love Toad the Wet Sprocket.
I do too. I just don't know the band Crowing. Kathy goes deep on her music. Oh, and then you have Wild Horses by the Sundays.
Nah, that's a good one.
Great song. Look Around from Blues Traveler. Wasted from Mazzy Star. Now, Mazzy Star is a really slow
tune. Oh, yeah.
I love Mazzy Star.
Mm-hmm. Fade Into You.
Fade Into You. I listen to it all the time. That would get a dude back.
All right, here you go. Look Away from Chicago.
Oh, my God.
Look away, baby, look away.
I loved Chicago as a kid.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Okay. Lover Laid Down from Dave Matthews.
Ooh. That's a good song. I just
want to be inside you.
Oh, my God.
Kathy's,
wait, how would she be?
That's not how it works.
No, it's the other way around.
I've never done it before.
I was going to say that song's about doing it, but Steve cut to the chase.
Well, and mind you,
I've never played Parcheesi.
That wasn't even, like, on my mind at all.
I know.
How old were you?
This was, I think I was a junior in high school.
Okay. So you were past Belinda Carlisle brush singing. But
right, exactly. Right,
yeah.
All right, then you have Only a Broken Heart by Tom Petty.
It's a good song.
Night Swimming from R.E.M. That's a deep cut. Wow. Untitled and Unsung by Belly.
So, wow. Here's the deal. These are songs with a purpose, Preston. This isn't, I'll just throw something on. You thought about every cut this. The message was there.
It was there.
Were you a DRE and Y100 listener?
Because
his music's right in there.
Exactly. Y100, not DRE. I think I was still too young.
The whole, DRE's music would have been a little deeper and more esoteric. Y100 was still esoteric. But, wow.
Right.
So I never did the breakup mixtape. I always did the I'm going to use a mixtape to get a girl to like me approach.
Okay.
And it worked never.
Never, yeah.
Never, not
yeah.
once.
No, it's creepy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I know that now.
Yeah, exactly,
but
right?
When I was in my...
I want to lay down.
But I thought, Steve, I was being romantic.
Well, they say this guy, listen, this guy is like an onion. Look, the layers here.
Oh, my God. You know what? If I can't say it with words, you know what'll say it? The song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. There are a few more here. No Need to Argue by the Cranberries. Here's Where the Story Ends by the Sundays. So you got two songs from the Sundays. It's a great song. Good Pain from Live. Romeo and Juliet from the Indigo Girls.
Hey, wait. I love the Indigo Girls.
Oh, we got another boombox? Yeah. Oh, my God. There's another.
All we have are like Chernobyl level boomboxes.
All right. Then you have, here you go. Everybody Hurts from R.E.M.
The best breakup song ever.
If you ever break up with me, you know, I hurt too.
We mentioned this one yesterday, Circle from Edie Brickell. Yeah.
That's another good one.
New Bohemians. Don't Talk from 10,000 Maniacs. Time and Time Again from Counting Crows. Mm-hmm. 10 Story Love Song from Stone Roses. Wow.
Ghostbusters theme.
And then here we go, Crucify from Tori Amos.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, I gave that to a guy?
This was not by happenstance. You seem to be torn up, whether you admit it or not.
Oh yeah, no, I liked this guy. Okay. We actually listen. It was a high school love, but we remain friends. We're still friends today.
You're like Mary Jo and Joey Buttafuoco.
No, stop! I didn't try to kill his wife.
And then she ends with the anthem, R.E.S.P.E.C.T. Find out what it means to me.
What, so
Aretha Franklin.
Do you know the reason that was? So, and that makes perfect sense. Listen, I'm going to lay my heart out.
Uh-huh.
If you don't respond, at least I want respect.
Yes. Hang up. While Casey's working on this cassette deck, let me go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Kelly?
Well, I have, I really like cassette tapes. I have a great memory for them because my husband passed away when our daughters were 3 and 2. And when he was in high school, he made all kinds of mixtapes. And so that's kind of, because they don't really have many memories of him.
Oh.
So that's kind of like part of his legacy.
That's awesome. Wow.
Kelly, were these mixtapes, were you guys, did you know each other in high school? Or
no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a peek for you as well into what he was into when he was younger.
It is. And one of them actually has his voice on it.
Oh, wow. I would kill for that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, for the girls to have. And my one daughter had 2 children, and my other daughter is expecting. So it's kind of a wonderful thing for them to, because I really tried to keep them him alive with them.
You know,
being a dad.
Kelly, you raise it. I mean, so if you stop and think of something that represents you, your love of music is as close to a psychological profile, what you like, what speaks to you, and this is what you have.
Yes, and it's such a gift to them, and it's such a gift to me because he's been gone. We were 24 when he passed.
Yeah.
So he's been gone a while, and for me to still listen to that music, and his music was very different from the music I liked, so it's kind of cool to, he even did a Christmas mixtape, which was
that's
cool.
Awesome.
But Kel, aren't you worried about the deterioration and it going away? Like, don't you want to digitize that to immortalize it?
I never thought of that. That's actually a great idea.
No,
Thank you for that idea.
Yeah, you need to do this because cassettes do degrade, and the audio quality does. It's they're very ephemeral, as they
say. Kelly, just look up cassette tape transfers online, and it's real easy to do. You send it out, they'll digitize them for you and put them on files, and then you'll have them, and the quality won't. Yeah, because over time the it deteriorates.
You can also buy it's just a cassette player that USBs into your computer.
Oh,
and
really?
it'll do the sound clearing on it itself. Okay.
And how many tapes do you have, Kel?
I have 4 tapes.
Okay.
And then the Christmas tape. And the Christmas Day is kind of cool because it's Jimi Hendrix doing Silent Night. It's all. It's not. No.
I never heard that.
Neither have I.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Okay. All right, yeah, Kelly. So. Thank you so much. It's a great story.
This one's called
Thank you.
Night.
Have a great day.
Yeah.
It was a holy night.
The mixtape really took a lot of time and energy. Like, you had to plan out each song. You also had to space them out because you didn't want the tape cassette side to end with too much leeway at the end.
You had to do math. You had to do math because you had to figure out.
And every now and then you'd have to shove in like a real quick 1.5 or 2 minute long song. So I think Blur 2 ended up on a lot of people's mixtapes.
Her Majesty's a pretty fine.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And you know, I'm looking at these tapes. Remember there was like a little tab on the top that you could pull off so you couldn't record
over
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you just put tape over it.
Yes.
I would do that for sure. Mm-hmm. All right, so let me try this. Casey bought another deck in here, and it's a two-way. You can play forward or back here. Let's see if this works now. What the hell? It was working a second ago, Case.
It was. Well, which one are you playing?
I'm hit by hit play there. See, there's audio.
All right, hang on.
Are the speakers connected?
Yeah,
they're connected.
Casey had some audio going a second ago.
All right. Well, listen, just punch it again, Preston.
You know what? Turn it off.
No, don't.
Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Because I was trying to hit this EQ. What?
This was the exact stereo I had in my dorm room. College. Yeah. Yeah. And,
how'd you find it?
It was a 3-disc changer. Yeah, I know.
You remember how much you paid for it?
So this is what I remember. I didn't have the money for it, so I opened up a Macy's charge card.
Yes.
And I bought it with that.
God. That's awesome.
And my mom was like, what did you do?
Macy's credit card.
But you needed it for your dorm room.
I needed
100%.
It.
100%.
All right.
All right. I'm so in the VU meter moving.
Yeah.
And you had it playing a second ago,
we did.
Right?
We did.
There you go.
It was a loose cable.
Now he's got to hold the cable.
There we go. Is this your cassette, Kathy?
Yes.
I think so,
You know what song this is, Kathy?
I have other mixes since we went over
that.
What was
the guy's name again?
Yeah, toss
this
another one.
This was Jay.
Or go through what you have.
Jay, I miss you so much. my loins ache for you.
No,
I want to play Parcheesi with you.
If you're just tuning in, Lou Ottens, who is the guy who invented the cassette tape, passed away. He was 94, so that's why we're talking about this.
No, if you want to know, and listen, Jay, I love Jay. Him and I actually, before the pandemic, we would get together once a year when he would come home. He lives on the West Coast. He lives in California. He works for NFL Films, and when he would come home, we would always get together. And listen, we've laughed about this for years, but the reason he broke up with me, he was a senior. I was a junior. And, you know, he was a dude into, you know, and I wouldn't have sex with him. And so he was like, I think we're going to break up now.
Wow. What other
so I have my rap mix. I have a secret pal mix. I have Kathy's dance party.
Ooh.
And then I have two Kathy love Michael. Michael was also a friend of mine.
Love Michael.
Love Michael.
Love Michael.
Huh?
And then dance party. I want to know what's on the Kathy dance party.
Okay, I'll give you both.
It's Kathy's dance party, everybody. How y'all doing?
Are these labeled, Kathy? The songs on here?
For all you succulents out there.
No, Nick, these aren't labeled. However, Case, I think you're going to like the Love Michael one. Michael was the guy that took me to a Fish concert.
Oh!
Yeah, so...
Toss the cassette while you're going through the list, and I'll pop it in and see if it'll work.
These aren't labeled.
Oh,
here, I'll
bring them over. Just throw it over.
If he's a Fish fan, you just need one title.
Yeah. Okay, so
this is Kathy Love. And by the way,
deck here.
Oh,
this one?
Yeah. And this is Kathy's dance mix.
Have we officially destroyed more boomboxes today than any other show in history?
All right, let's try this. Kathy's, this is Michael's mix.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when the 2-hour cassettes came out?
Whoa. I think 90 was.
I love you.
Wait a minute. Was that you?
No, that's Mike. That's Mike.
Was he just being silly?
Yes, he's being goofy. Okay. I think he starts talking eventually.
Hang on a second here. Oh! Sheryl Crow.
Oh, nice.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Great song.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know why, Kathy. I swear to God, yesterday as I got in the car, no radio on, nothing, I started singing along to this song. I'm not kidding you, and I don't know why it popped up in my head.
Ooh.
Hey,
that's bizarre.
Maybe you guys should date.
Can I ask you guys where the technology came from? Was it the tape player or the tape itself where you could actually fast forward to the next song?
Well, I'm sorry?
It was the tape player itself.
It was the tape player itself.
So but he's talking about cassette decks used to come out, and they would allow you to advance. And then, Casey, do you remember the cassette decks that would flip the side?
Oh, yeah.
So, you'd have an AB.
Those were fancy. Mm-hmm.
Those were pretty fancy.
I remember somebody had a Subaru Outback with the Stevie. You could rewind to a particular song.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my God, we are living in the future.
Yeah, on this tape deck, the left one says auto reverse on it.
There you go.
And it also says synchro recording.
Synchro. Wow.
Because you have two cassette decks.
Yeah, it's
here.
A one-button push.
All right, let me fast forward. Okay, still fast forwarding. Let's see what the next song is. And it's got a CD player on top, too. So you could take
you know
the
what?
CDs.
I'm glad you broke that other one. It's not as good as this one.
Yeah.
Do you have to hold the wire in the back case?
No.
It comes with new hold-the-wire technology.
Do you think there's any more Mike talking on this?
Yeah, there is. I know there is somewhere on there.
Come on.
You know what there's not is there isn't the auto thing where it goes forward and then finds the gap and then stops.
Well, it's a mix.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Let me see.
There's your song, Kathy. And when you go to California, I'll play this one for you.
So he made this mix for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Kathy Love Michael.
Just like friends do, you
Zeppelin.
Know, guys.
Led Zeppelin, nice. I think it's it, yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to California.
Yeah.
Spend my days with a woman and cat.
This is a great song for a girl who maybe decides one day to give it up.
No, Mike was just my friend, but...
Well, Mike
want to be your friend.
This kind of music you play when you tell your girl she's just a friend, but you really want to taste some of that nectar, you know what I'm saying?
Any guy that makes a mixtape for a girl, Kathy, there's intention.
And labels it Love Michael?
Uh-huh. Were Michael and Jay friends?
No. They
would get together and go, how are we going to crack this nut? This is like Fort Knox.
I'd fast forward right to the end of that song.
Ooh.
I still got my old chops, man. All right. Oh, Liz Phair. Supernova.
Great song.
Great tune, yeah.
Clearly we were into Liz Phair in high school.
Ah. I love this song.
I just want to stop the song right now and say, love is also physical. Yeah.
Just so you know.
Even friends can have sex.
That one has a couple F-bombs in it, so I got to get past. All right. Let's see if I got any. How good am I?
You are really good.
I nailed it right at the gap. Let me back it up just a little bit here. Come on. It's not rewinding.
I'm not going to talk anymore, so.
Hang on. Why is this not rewinding?
Michael signing off.
Yeah.
Blue balls, and I was thinking. It can actually physically hurt you in term consequences. But anyway, here's some more Liz Phair.
How many kids are.
It won't rewind, Case. Wait, here we go. Come on. No, it's.
Nocturnal discharge, and so I went to the doctor, and he gave me some advice. He said if I had sex, it would help. Anyway. Yeah,
it doesn't want to rewind. I'll try. I'll do it manually.
Here's Tracy Chapman.
Yeah, it's Tracy Chapman. I want to hear what Mike says. Hold on. Yeah, let's try this.
Kathy, I'm going to bed. I'm real tired. So whatever's left, I'll do tomorrow. I'm not going to talk anymore. So have a nice, safe trip, and be good. Any kids or anything. And I'll leave you the rest of this music, okay? This next song, Think of Me, this is one of the songs I went nuts to with the date dance.
The guy was into you.
You were going on a trip.
I was going to my
uncle's. He's making this for you to listen along the way.
Yep, I was going to my uncle's wedding in San Diego.
Okay. Yep.
So Think of Me.
Let's see. Anybody want to guess what song it might be?
Okay. all right, Think of Me. Wait, what year is this?
This is 96.
Nine Inch Nails, Closer.
Wow. I want to have you like an animal.
I'm thinking.
Wow.
You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette.
No. If you're on the road thinking a more wistful song.
Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews.
Yeah, let's go with that.
That's a good one.
I'm voting for Nick's choice.
I'm with you on that. All right. Let's see what we get. Here we go. Hang on.
The Cure. Good song.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so hoping for
crashing.
Why don't you hike up that skirt a little more?
All right.
Or it all!
Let's go one more and see where we get. See if Mike's got another message for us. Is Robert Irvine on a schedule? Okay, so good. We can go a little long.
You know what, Preston? Also, you know the desperation. What I've done, and I did my mixtapes. You want so bad, Nick, to convey that message to. It means everything. The only way you know how to articulate it is through your song selection.
Sure. Yeah, you can't write the poetry.
You can't
yourself.
No.
They do it better for you.
It means so much to you.
Indigo Girls.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, Galileo. Great song. And as the bombshells
of my daily... I think the Indigo Girls are one of the more underrated
bands
of all time.
Their harmonies are fantastic. Yeah. But they did lean very female, so he was speaking to Kathy's sensibilities.
Yes.
He was definitely in
you like lesbians.
In a feminine mode. Jesus.
Do you talk to either of these guys, Kev?
Yeah, I still talk to Jay occasionally, like I said, when he comes back to the East Coast. Mike, I just recently connected with on Facebook.
Still there. Hang on a second. Fast forward. If you're just tuning in, the inventor of the cassette died. Lou Ottens was his name. He was 94, so we're taking a stroll through Kathy's cassette world.
All right, here we go.
What's next? This is from Mike to Kathy. Mixtape. Crimson and Clover from Joan Jett. That's a love song.
That is too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you? Dumb. I didn't. I handed that over, and I was like, no, we were just friends.
All right. Wow. And there's this. There was more import in this than you were aware of.
It wasn't like, we'll always be bosom buddies.
100%.
Wherever we go.
Oh, my God, what an idiot.
What does Mike do these days?
I'm not sure. He's not in the area. I think he's, like, somewhere in Pennsylvania, but, like, maybe Pittsburgh area, something like that. He's not in this area.
Well, he seems like a nice guy.
He writes novels about unrequited love.
Yeah. He lives in a shack.
Wow, this song is longer than I thought.
He's out in Punxsutawney living in a shack.
I don't know. Oh, that's the end. The vibrato effect. Lord, how long is this song?
I think it kicks back in, too.
It's only a 3-minute song. Only the radio cut.
I think it's starting to fade. All right, maybe not. Let's keep going. Hang on a second here.
I'm just going to cut to the chase. What songs make you horny?
Well, I think it's the end of the cassette. Hang on a second here. Stop. Eject. No, there's more to go.
Really?
Yeah, it's.
Here's the next song.
Stop.
What All right, hang on a second. Was it a Fish song?
No, it was Baby, I Love Your Way.
Is this Fish?
Yeah. Susie Greenberg. Oh, my God, this is what my cat was named after. That song right there.
Casey, that's playing on her mixtape.
Oh, my, that's pretty wild. But Susie.
I didn't register at all with him. I was like, dude.
This guy.
I was too busy.
This guy should have been with you.
I was too busy queuing up a joke song.
I know. And you missed. You let the love of your life walk right out that door.
But, dude, Susie's about as faithful as a slot machine. Pays off once in a while, but then she'll rob you clean.
Oh, no.
Kath.
That's what the lyrics are to this song?
Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, geez.
All right. Hang on. Let's go one more. I keep saying that. Is this a long song?
No.
Couple of long songs.
Well, so it's a live song. It's not off of an album, so.
It could drag on
4 minutes.
That's still it, right? Was that still it?
Yeah.
Okay. It used to suck when you were looking for a specific song on a cassette.
God. Oh, my God.
And you're like, I can't believe it. And you know, and when you're driving and you're like, holy mother of God.
And you don't remember like where in the lineup it is and you got to go through song by song.
And you got it wrong. And then at some point, if you forgot to take the clips out of the tape, you accidentally, like if you're listening to it on a boombox or something, you record over a part of it. So there's always a skip.
We're still on the Fish song.
That's actually just the introduction.
Right. All right. So let me continue. We'll get one more and then we're going to have to take a break in a second here. But This was from Mike to Kathy.
No, Kathy, love Michael.
And we never got to Kathy's dance party. Man, I want to hear that,
Wait, we don't have time to just sample one or two?
Throw it in real quick.
You know? Okay, there's also people waiting on the phone. Sorry about that.
Wait, hold on. Oh, I thought he was talking. All right, never mind. All right, yes, Kathy's dance party.
I used to love when I first started listening to the radio, Preston, when you would hear the actual DJ moving stuff around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd hear, like, the, you know, the record coming out of the jacket.
Here we go. Kathy's dance party. It's got some bass to it. Oh, I know what this is. It's a dance mix of New Shoes. I Can't Wait.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Or no. Never mind. It's Madonna.
Madonna.
Oh. Express yourself. Express yourself.
Nick, you might want to sit down for this one.
You're someone's second best, baby. Don't you love to the test? You know, you got to make him express how you feel. And man, then you know your love is real. Express yourself.
By the way, this is definitely playing in my bedroom. This was like the older version of the hairbrush. Like this would be playing when, you know, I was getting ready to go.
The mood.
Yeah, meet my friends at the mall.
Right, right. All right, I'm going to fast forward this and see where we are. Hang on a second here. It's a dance mix, so I'm sure it's longer than normal. So I got to let it go a little bit here. Hang on. Come on.
Bets on what the next...
All right, Madonna.
Hey. Around this time, what else would she put on? Take a guess.
This would be, wow.
Would she follow up with another Madonna song?
I'm sorry, what year is this?
This is probably, has to be 96, I guess.
Oh, really?
All right.
I think so.
All right, hang on a second.
Salt and Pepper,
all right.
Oh, Jackson 5.
Jackson 5.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love this song? Hang on.
I think this might have been for a party.
Your bestie, Elisa, is on the line right now. Elisa, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, it says here you got some dirt on the mixtape, on the breakup.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, Sister Kathy over there always comes off so clean and innocent. But, Kath, don't you want to tell them what happened previous to making that mixtape for the breakup?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Okay. No, we're just going to let you tell us. Go ahead.
You know, she spent a little time alone with her boyfriend at my house and then decided to break up and felt so bad and had to make the mixtape. So.
No, I didn't break up. He broke up with me.
Oh,
remember,
right.
He broke up with me to go with I forget her name, to the prom.
Oh, Corey McHorenstein.
What was her name?
Slutty Horenstein.
Her name was, no, I think it's because Kathy wasn't slutty enough.
Yeah, but, I already said that he broke up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him.
Well, let me ask you, so this guy Mike, were you familiar with this guy Mike?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Tell me, if you just heard that music, he was in love with her, correct?
Really? Wait, I did not know this.
Your best friend knew he was in love with you.
Because you're oblivious. What are you talking about? What guy wants to be really great friends with some girl in high school and, like, make her a whole mixtape of, like, Lilith Fair music,
seriously,
pouring his emotions out? Come on.
The time and the effort that went into it says, I love you, Kathy.
Elisa, when the Kathy Romano biography comes down, you and I will sit down and write that, okay?
Oh, I have the dirt for you when we write this. You have her squeaky clean image is going right out the window.
Well, we already know that she got her nipple pierced, so, the wall is coming down.
Well, what's the meme I sent to her a couple of weeks ago that said, we'll always be best friends because you know too much.
Wait, so what was going on in the basement?
Yeah.
It wasn't the basement. It was the bottom of Elise's bed. There was like a...
They called that the basement.
A bunch of people in there. I think you... And by the way, you were in the closet with someone.
You were
so
performing for everybody in the room?
I mean, listen, I had a Zima party. What do you want?
A Zima party.
Zima.
It was 100% a Zima party.
Is that the first time a guy ran his fingers through your butt fuzz? Peach fuzz.
He was braiding it.
Okay. Well, we know it's gone now, by the way, for the record. Right. It's just completely perfect now, right?
Well,
yes, correct. Hair free. Thank you.
Well, listen, we got to wrap it up, Elisa, but thank you for
course.
A peek into the real world of Catherine.
Yes, whatever you need more, I'm here for.
Oh, all right. We will. Yes. We will. Thank you.
But,
all right.
By
you
the way, Alisa was the quote, and her and I have been best friends for years, but she was a little bit of like the bad girl. Mm-hmm. So she loves when like things are not so squeaky clean for other people. She loves to throw me under the bus for you know, on any occasion.
We would not have any of this, Preston, were it not for the inventor of the cassette.
That's true. Yeah. That is absolutely true. Wow. Okay. Well, anyhow.
That was fun.
Yes, it was Lou Ottens. I actually want to do more of this.
Yeah.
But we've got to move on because we got some stuff to get to. We got some guests coming up. We got to do the bizarre file. And I apologize for those of you who have been on hold for like 20 minutes, but we had to go through Kathy's tape. We only scratched the surface on this, too.
Yeah, hours of stuff.
I want to go through some more of this. Let's take a break. Come back in a second, though. We have bizarre file stories that we need to get to. Stay with us because we're not going to be gone long.
Are you an MMR VIP? Sign up for free at WMMR.com for access to VIP contests, special deals, and to be the first to know about important stuff. It's like having an MMR backstage pass without having to do something nasty to get it.
I know this is late, but here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, and it's America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. I'm going to lead with the most disturbing story of the day. Could be the most disturbing story of the week or month, maybe even the year.
Oh, that's saying a lot.
Prosecutors say a California man allegedly killed his wife and propped her up on Christmas morning for their kids to open gifts in front of her
body. Oh, my God.
What the... Right? William Wallace of Anaheim. William Wallace is from Braveheart, right?
Yeah.
William Wallace.
Well, I could see why he'd be pissed off.
Of Anaheim.
He was drawn and quartered.
Charged in the killing of his wife, Zazelle Preston.
Oh, man.
Which allegedly occurred during a violent argument on Christmas Eve that year. During his trial on Monday, prosecutors claimed that on Christmas morning, Wallace placed Preston's body on the sofa with sunglasses on and proceeded to have their kids open gifts. Prosecutors also allege that Wallace told the children, "Mommy got drunk and ruined Christmas." Oh, at the time, Wallace's two daughters were 8 and 3 years old. The couple also shared a 7-week-old newborn. Preston, by the way, she was studying to become a domestic violence counselor at the time.
There's unbelievably unhinged. And did the kids buy it? They had to know something was wrong.
Well, the 8-year-old for sure did.
Yeah.
As for what happened on Christmas Eve, Wallace's attorney claimed his client was, quote, being accused of something that is not his fault and that Preston got drunk and fell on a glass table hitting her head. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Witnesses painted an alleged picture of repeated violent behavior from Wallace toward Preston. Relatives of Preston also allegedly told investigators Wallace had threatened to kill his wife before. Wallace has been in jail since he was arrested on Christmas Day. This was 2011 this happened.
All right.
In lieu of $1 million bail and faces first-degree murder charges. Very disturbing. Less disturbing and more a great tale. A man is crediting firefighters and his watch for saving his life after he fell through the ice over a river on the weekend. Rogers had been ice skating his whole life, and on Sunday he was on Salmon Falls River when the ice broke. He was by himself, which you should not do.
No!
He said, "It was a terrible feeling. Oh, my God, I'm going in the water. First thing," he said, "I did was try to walrus up onto the ice knowing that I needed to get out of the water as quickly as possible, and the ice just kept breaking underneath me.
Ah!
No one was around, and he couldn't reach his phone. He was in the water for several minutes as hypothermia started setting in. He said, "I remember telling myself, okay, don't panic. Do not panic. Figure out what your options are here." As his breathing labored, he realized he had on his Apple Watch.
Ah.
He said, "It worked. Saved my life, I think." So he said, "I told them I probably..."
Claim is fair.
No, he said, "I probably had 10 minutes before I was not able to be... that I was not going to be able to respond anymore. Firefighters were there in 5 minutes, threw him a line, and pulled him out."
That's fantastic.
He said, "I'm really grateful of them, so thank those folks. I thank them. And this time of year, firefighters say, going on the ice is a gamble, especially on rivers." Here is a follow-up story from yesterday. The father of a 16-year-old high school student who detonated an explosive at the school Monday was arraigned on multiple related charges. The dad was. David Robert Daniel Saylor, 33 years old, was charged on Tuesday with one felony count of manufacturing explosive devices and one misdemeanor count of contributing to the delinquency of a minor by manufacturing those devices with his son.
Hmm.
The two are alleged to have made multiple devices. If convicted, Saylor could face up to 4 years in prison on the manufacturing charge. The defendant's son was hospitalized Monday after detonating a homemade explosive that he brought to the school. Saylor's son lost parts of both his thumbs in the explosion. They said, for lack of a better word, his thumbs were blown off his hands.
So they didn't charge him with having too many names?
No. Four other students and one teacher also were treated for injuries in the incident. They described the explosive material in court as not so much a device, but material that was wrapped up. The investigation is ongoing to determine if there was any ill intent.
Yeah.
Based on conversations with Saylor's son, investigators learned Monday the teen had been making and exploding improvised explosive devices at the family's home.
Oh, my God. What has no thumbs in is a total moron.
Yeah.
This guy right here.
Chinese carrier Donghai Airlines on Sunday said that it had suspended a male pilot and a male flight attendant after allegations the pair assaulted each other during a flight.
That doesn't make the passengers confident.
The assault started from an argument about 50 minutes from landing. The pilot, who was not identified, was using the bathroom when a first-class cabin passenger wished to use the toilet. The pilot asked the passenger to wait at their seat, but was ignored by the passenger. Social media posts said in the incident the toilet argument soon spiraled out of hand and became physical. Social media posts claimed this was initiated by the pilot.
Who's going to kick your ass? This guy!
In the resulting fight, the flight attendant's arm was broken while the pilot lost a tooth.
Oh, my God.
It was a brawl.
It's a full-blown brawl.
The flight attendant was not allowed to return to the same flight. The company attached high importance to the argument among the crew members during the flight and conducted a strict internal verification. Those staff members involved have been suspended their job to ensure flight safety. The statement said the airline is conducting an overall safety rectification following the incident.
Perhaps some no brawling signs would help.
Exactly. And I tell you what, we will wrap it up there.
All right.
Because we went really long in the last segment. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. Our buddy Robert Irvine will be joining us. Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible. The new seasons are tonight. And I think we'll also, if we have time, check out a couple of more of these mixtapes we have sitting
around. We have to.
We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Kathy, we have tons of people that are texting in saying that Suck My Kiss would have been on Mike's mixtape. So we're actually going to, we're probably going to delve some more into those mixtapes in a moment. But we want to talk to our next guest because Restaurant Impossible is entering into its 17th season tonight. And Dinner Impossible is back after a decade hiatus,
yeah.
Essentially. So
it's unheard of. Two shows.
That is coming back around. They're both on Food Network tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert frickin' Irvine is on the line.
What's up?
Yo, buddy. Hey. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Great. How are you?
Exciting. We're good, man. But, I mean, it's exciting for you. Two shows coming out tonight. You know, Dinner Impossible, gone for so long, and returns. How does it feel?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, Dinner Impossible started 14 years ago, had a hiatus 11 years ago, and we're back in the seat, and it's killing me. This show is a nightmare.
Yeah, it does. It pushes you, right?
Well, it pushes you to the limit beyond, yeah. And tonight's show is, we're in Hawaii, and literally we finished it a couple of weeks ago, so it's fresh, it's painful, but I think the guests are going to love watching me depend out of the shape for sure.
Well, Robert, explain for people who are unfamiliar what the difference is between Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible.
Well, Restaurant Impossible, we fix up, you know, 2 days, $10,000. We fix up somebody's business and their life and get them back on track. Dinner Impossible is all about me versus the elements and the producers with some untimely challenge. They give me a time and say, feed, you know, 6,000 people in this amount of hours with no food, no equipment, and they don't care if you fail.
Right, right, yeah.
So it's very different. The elements, you know, and when you see the show tonight in Oahu, you know, I can control a lot of things. The weather I can't. And you'll see how that goes. But it's fun to be back. It's very, very challenging. And I mean, not mentally, physically, skillfully, with the food I have to produce with nothing, from nothing. And at the end of it, you can't move, you can't talk, you can't, you're done.
Let me ask you, you know, in the best of situations, opening up a restaurant or keeping a restaurant successful is an uphill battle. During COVID times and during the pandemic, it's been exponentially that much worse. What have you encountered that has just blown your mind as far as the extra added tension and task of getting restaurants up and solvent?
Well, you know, so many restaurants are out of business or closed down. And we've literally, since beginning of July of last year till Christmas, we did 39 episodes on buses around the country helping folks. There's still a lot of folks out there that are, you know, minimally doing what they do, takeout and, you know, 25% here, 14% there, 11% there. In fact, my own restaurant in Vegas is still closed. So, you know, the one in the Pentagon has been running at about 11% occupancy, but it's never closed. It's always been open because of securing our, you know, borders and things that they do from there. But it's tough when you see people that can't make ends meet and they can't pivot to do something to make them pay those bills. It's tough, and we've had a good run at doing it, and we've not been able to save everybody, and that's the sad part.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can argue the, you know, whether as far as restaurants and closing and how it's been handled and the percentages and so on and so forth. But what you can argue is the like here locally, to see how these businesses manage to pivot, as you said, and set up. I'm sure you've seen pictures. I'm sure when you've been in the area, you've seen basically setting up entire other restaurants in front of their current restaurants with safety protocols in place almost seemingly overnight. It's just been amazing.
Yeah. I was there last week filming on the Mushaloo. Obviously, the restaurants weren't open, but I was in a number of restaurants that were doing the same thing, you know, within the tent outside of their normal restaurant. And they've done, listen, it's hard enough to run a restaurant, but when you've got to do with all the other stuff,
yeah,
follow the protocols and people wear masks and deal with people that don't want to wear masks and some that do. And, you know, it's a nightmare. But at the end of the day, you know, they're doing a great job. And I just hope that the government steps up and starts to give some money out to these folks that need it to, keep people employed and doing what they're doing.
So, when we're on the back end of this, I mean, do you foresee a boom in dining out and people heading out and maybe turning into a great thing for restaurateurs?
Yeah, I think. Listen, nobody thought that COVID would end up here, right? And a year later, and doing what we're doing, we thought it was going to be quick. People are fed up. They want vacations. They want to go out. You know, a third of the folks will not go back to restaurants. I think they'll still be scared, even with COVID vaccinations and all the other things and the herd immunity thing. They won't want to do that. They won't feel safe. For me, you know, I'm in Florida. We've been out since July. I mean, it's open, and I'm not a scientist, okay? I don't know what's the right thing, the wrong thing, but they wear masks, they don't wear masks, they're open. I just think if you look at one area that's thriving and backup and tourism, and then you look at another area that's closed, you wonder why. Why is that closed if this place can do this?
Right, right.
I don't pertain to know that, but.
Right. You just want people back to work in as safe a way as possible and allow people, you know, and accommodate everybody's sensitivities on it. That's the only way we're going to move forward. Concerning Dinner Impossible, obviously these challenges that you're given, can you give us a peek at some of the stuff you're going to be facing?
Well, I'm going to tell you that I'm in the middle of Oahu on a very famous ranch, and I have to go and pick the food that I use. And create a meal that is legendary, and I mean that. But fishing is involved.
Fishing is involved. All right.
I'm stuck as a fisherman. And you know how patient I am, right?
Yes, you're just incredibly patient.
Yeah, the fish is supposed to be there with, you know, you blow things up with a hand grenade and not a net. I just have no patience because I'm on a time limit. I will tell you that it's stressful. The food, I argue with the producer because, you know, they have no clue what I'm trying to do and you know, they mess up. They give me 8 hours to cook something and they don't give me something.
Just okay. a quick question for you concerning that and concerning everything. And you know, we've heard about shortages of different foods throughout the past 8, 9 months, 10 months. Things that have occurred. What in particular are you finding shortages of, or is everything the inventory on all the basic things that you use for your various menus coming back up to snuff?
No, there's a lot of stuff I don't have, literally. And that's by design, not because we can't get it.
Okay.
I think these folks, you know, unlike when we had the toilet paper and the paper towel and everything else shortage, and that's all come back now. They just hold everything from me.
they're just effing with you. Yeah.
It's like, here's 2 fishes and 5 loaves and go and feed 20,000 people.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
Yeah. So the viewer after 11 years, the viewer is really excited to see it back. It's much more beautiful because the technology's got better. I'm still as crouchy and old as, you know, I was in the first season. But I think we turn out a better show with more intensity. And if you thought last time was intense, hold on to your seat.
All right, excellent.
Now, good. A little more local. Speaking of pivoting, Robert, you and Boardroom Spirits, they switched over and started creating, you know, hand sanitizer and handing that out. I would imagine things are getting a little bit more back to normal. Any news on that front?
Yeah, we're still doing a little bit of it, but getting back, we are about 3 weeks away, hopefully, to sending you the new Irvines. We're changing Boardroom to Irvines. That's taking a while right now.
Oh, wow.
Really? Okay. Didn't know that.
That will be going nationwide in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
So excited about that. New flavors of products, the vodka and the gin and some whatnot. So we're doing some photo shoots. Gail and I a couple of weeks ago in Philly on that. Fish Lunch is doing amazing. The foods are going great. Our foundation is running leaps and bounds. We just got a donation of $150,000 to get 4 iBots for 4 severely handicapped warriors.
Nice.
From Cayman. So there's an awful lot going on. Hiring a lot of people and growing steadily, as they say. You know, COVID has been a tough thing for a lot of people. It's been good for us of having to pivot and look at new businesses and, right. and how do we grow out of that and how do we survive. So
right.
We're doing pretty good on that. So.
All right. Well,
that's
excellent.
That's good to hear, man. All right. Well, we will we'll make sure everybody is aware. Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible tonight, 9 and 10 o'clock respectively. New seasons for both. First new season for Restaurant Impossible in 11 years.
It's pretty wild.
So it's a big deal. And I know people in this area love you, Robert, so they will absolutely tune in and check it out.
Well, live tweeting, giving lots of tweets away, lots of money away on Twitter, so it should be fun.
Awesome. All right. Excellent.
All right, Robert, thanks for the call. We'll talk to you soon, okay? Robert Irvine, guys. Later, man. Yep. Wow. So you're changing that to Irvine's. That's in Lansdale. It's a great place. You can go by and sometimes they have, you know, special food nights and stuff like that. So I can't wait till stuff like that is back and up and running.
All right, we got a couple of minutes to play with. So if you missed earlier, we were talking about this gentleman, Lou Ottens, who passed away. He was 94 years old. He's the guy who actually invented the cassette tape that was a staple for most of us for many years if you were, you know, above a certain age.
Yeah.
And Kathy had brought in a bag of mixtapes, and we were going through and playing some stuff. And we actually have, Casey found a cassette player here in the office. It's actually a stereo system.
Yeah. This is like high end.
It's big and bulky, but it had tape, tuner, video auxiliary, CD, MD. What would that be? Mini disc.
Yeah. I used to love mini disc. That's a whole other thing.
Stop it. Where's the mini disc? I don't think there's a mini disc player on here.
No, you would attach probably externally a mini disc.
I guess so.
Sometimes you could do a mini disc in the CD player. Like you could just, they would go one and the same.
That was only a little time, right? A short time?
Yeah. Though in broadcasting, mini disc stayed around for a while.
Oh, it did?
It was great. It's a format I really did love.
You know who loved them too, Steve? Was our former production director, Lush.
He
used mini discs all the time. Awesome. Yeah, for like actualities out of concerts and things like that.
Okay. I also have videotapes and remember the mini VHS?
Yeah, absolutely.
The short time.
For camcorders.
That existed.
Yeah.
I had like everything from high school on those, and now they're like I can't even get the video off of it.
Yeah, well, places can do it, but also with that stuff, the video degrades after a while. So.
Okay, so do we want to hear more of Kathy's dance party or dance mix, or do we want to hear Casey Boy air check?
Well, she's still trying to process the fact that the guy she thought was just a friend was madly in love with her. Her friend, her best friend, we called the Queen Bee. Queen Bee called in and verified it.
So, you guys could do it. I definitely want to hear your air tape.
Let's do the air check.
Yeah,
that's a short one. I don't know what's on that.
Yeah, it looks like it's only a couple minutes long.
They usually are. That was always the rule of thumb. People go crazy and send in like 3 hours to a program director. You sound like a couple minutes.
Do you have any idea what this is, Case?
No.
Okay,
hang on a second. Let me back that up. It starts right off. The rewind doesn't work on this.
No, it doesn't.
That's good. That's a good feature.
How are you knowing where it's... You keep saying it starts here, or how are you... Like, what are you looking at?
I heard it. So hang on a second. I'm gonna flip it over and then hit fast forward.
Yeah.
And that's how you rewind it on the other side.
Yeah, that's how you if you had a rewind that didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. All right, so hang on here.
$1,000 just for listening. Goo Goo Dolls at the Electric Factory November 6th. This is brand new. It's called Slide on Y100.
Smile!
That was brand new.
Brand new.
That was a brand new song in this.
Casey, it doesn't sound bad.
No, it does not.
It sounds good.
Yeah. You only did weekends occasionally, right? Or you did it every weekend.
No, I was an overnight guy. I never did a shift when the sun was out.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. I don't even know what song that is. Hang on.
More music every hour and $100,000 just for listening to the Y100 Triple Play and an extra added bonus, Marilyn Manson and the Dope Show on Y100.
The Dope Show.
Oh, my God. I had such a terrible. I still have such a terrible accent.
It was more pronounced than.
Yeah. Dope Show.
The Dope Show.
An hour.
Dude,
an hour.
That's when we did our triple play. $100,000 giveaway. Yeah. Huge, huge deal. Gigantic money. You don't hear that type of money being given away on the radio.
Yes.
And, dude, we were hoping for a ratings windfall off of that. Because these cash things at radio stations, too. Here's the shocker. It's trying to get more people to listen.
Of course.
And to get bigger ratings.
Yeah.
Ratings. And it had just, like, slightly nudged the numbers a little bit.
The margin of error completely eradicated whatever game we got. And the truth of the matter was, you have to put this in perspective, that was a standalone station. That wasn't part of a big company. Yeah. That wasn't part of, like, a huge...
It was a single owner.
It was a single owner, single company. And that was it.
Here's my impression from the outsider looking in, because ratings were measured differently back then than they are now. And I think it really helped put Y100 on the map. I was not an employee of Y100 at the time, but I knew about that contest. I called in all the time. I still know what the back-to-back-to-back songs are. So, like, I think it really helped propel Y100 into another level.
I just remember Green Day, Good Riddance.
Do you remember a winner?
R.E.M. was End of the World, as we know it, and I Feel Fine. What was the third one?
Oh, you almost dropped an S-bomb.
All
right, think about it.
The other thing about it is there probably would have and should have been a better mechanism, because you think, okay, we're going to announce this contest, right? And you have to, these three songs in a row, okay?
we're not going to do it in the first week. We're not going to do it in the second week. You know, it's going to last a longer time.
But we didn't tell people how long it was going to last.
Yeah, I know. I know.
All right, anyhow, let's move on. Next break from Casey. Here we go.
Sides
of
1990, YouTube video compilation.
It's hard to hear.
Video, and also YouTube t-shirt. And all winners are qualified to win a signed limited edition YouTube lift girl. It's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Smooth. You're taking a very laid-back approach.
I probably could have had the music down a little bit lower.
Yeah, you were too deep into it. Yeah, a
little bit. Congratulations!
And we're playing this off of
You're good though, Case.
Cassette player. I wouldn't want to record this and then play it. I wanted to play it off of an actual player.
The way it was.
This is an air check tape, right? So I'm not going to put my stickers on there.
Right. This is best.
I know, but like I'm impressed. I thought we were going to hear something really bad.
If you do like a regular scope tape of one show or something like that, you might have more of that option.
This has been edited.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Next one.
Philadelphia's new music alternative, Y100. This is a new one from Cake. It's called Never There on Y100.
I need your arms around.
I need to feel your touch.
Thought I said Kink. I was like, who is Kink?
It's a new one from Kink.
Kink. Oh,
cake.
Cake.
Here we go.
Dave Matthews? I think that's a Y100 Sonic session.
Y100 where you can win $100,000 just for...
Hey, Casey, you're not backselling any songs. Just telling you.
Just wait.
Fastball coming to town this week. Going to give us a little visit at the TLA October 29th. That is this Thursday. Tickets are still available, so pick them up as soon as you can.
Sue.
Here's the latest. It's Fire Escape on Y100.
So Fastball is coming to town. Fastball.
First build.
I don't remember Fire Escape. Must have been their follow-up to The Way.
The Y100 triple play can happen at any time. So keep listening to win $100,000 from Y100. If
I could tell the...
It's a quick break.
Yeah, I didn't back sell or front sell.
No.
What the hell?
Wow, Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Wish list.
It's a great song.
Philadelphia's new music alternative, Y100, where you can win $100,000 just for listening. It's Casey Foster. It's 4:30, not 5:30. Turn your clocks back. And for my folks in Fishtown, here's the Offspring. Yeah. It's a new one. Pretty fly for a white guy on Y100.
And you're very laid back in this, Casey.
Yeah.
Dude, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
REM's new CD will be in stores in 2 days. That's October 27th. This is Day Sleeper, Y100. Philadelphia's new music alternative, Y100, where you can win $100,000 just for listening. It's a Y100 YouTube weekend, and you can win CDs and stuff, including this
sweetest
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
This is the best of YouTube Volume 1, the brand new single. It's called The Sweetest Thing on Y100.
I don't even know what I said there.
I couldn't understand you.
Yeah. Listen, there was a...
4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning, there was a little roof deck that I would sometimes go out to and hang out and burn.
Yeah. Right.
There was nobody there.
No. Yeah. It was literally that part, especially that part of a Baltimore Pike, nothing.
Now, this one just says air check on it. That is my handwriting.
All right.
That is your handwriting?
Yep, that's my handwriting.
Is this the show?
And it's on the Y100 Presents the Barskology cassette. So what you would do, and you can see we taped over the blocked out tabs here so you can pre-record. So any leftover cassettes, any type that were laying around, sometimes bands would send like singles or EPs on cassette. You'd take them, put the tape over the top, and record your air checks over.
It was easy,
We just needed cassette tapes.
Right.
So this was from Barsky, the old Barsky show, who used to be on Y100. We had taped over it.
Yeah.
Let's pop this in.
Let's see what it is.
It's probably just a scoped tape.
Probably.
I doubt highly that it's been edited down to air check. So I hit play. It's got a leader on the tape, so it's got a lead up. So this might have been Preston, Marilyn, and Steve.
It's quite possible.
I don't know. Let's find out. Wow. That's your case.
Good evening. It's 12:03. It's Casey Foster.
Good evening.
And let me say hello to my new friend, Pat DeMayo, Waterford, New Jersey, $100,000 winner. Good job, Pat. I love you.
I knew I recognized that name.
Especially more now that you're $100,000 richer.
All right, so it's more Casey. Let's hear another break.
I don't know this song either.
Music alternative,
Y100. What song?
Happy Monday to all this morning.
You don't back sell any songs.
Preston and Maryland announced the winner of the.
It's just Preston and Maryland.
It's Preston and Maryland.
How cool is that?
Pre-Steve.
Oh my
God. That had to be.
Wow.
How big a window was that? 5-6 months?
No, less than that. Three tops.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Where was just the two of you?
Well, I tell you what, it became. Yeah, Maryland, it might have been only 2 months. So we started 1998.
You did.
And it was right around the beginning of April, and we were on the air for about 2 months. Maryland was, they put Maryland and I together to replace the Barsky show, and we're about 3 weeks in, and I'm like, we're not funny. we need something else. And Steve ended up having availability. He was in New York at Q104 and got in touch with our program director, Jim McGuinn. And he said, well, why don't you come down and sit in with these guys and try it out? So that's what it might have been during that twilight period, Steve, where you were just trying out on the show.
Casey was your intern.
I was your Monday, Wednesday, Friday intern. And then Mike McClain was your Tuesday, Thursday intern. But the beginning of the end and the introduction to me as your producer slash morning show helper was when they renamed the show to Preston, Maryland, and Steve. It was a Y100 morning show with Preston, Maryland, and Steve.
Correct, yeah.
And I remember when they first did that and they had the imaging because the producer at the time came in to the production studio where I was. And
he was not happy.
He was not happy. And he played the sweeper on the cart machine and he goes, Y100 morning show with Preston, Maryland, and Steve. And he's like, that's effing bullshit. They said it was a two-name show because he wanted to be the third person. And for all intents and purposes, he was.
Yeah. If he wouldn't have been a douchebag, he probably could have gotten his name on the show.
And he would have been here. Yeah. And I wouldn't be here.
Right.
It worked out well.
He was really, really mad.
But it was all happenstance.
He took it out on you like it was your fault.
And then I took it out on him.
Uh-huh.
I think the final conversation I had was... do you want me to put my foot up your ass?
Yeah.
I in my office, I said, don't ever. I don't care. I will take this to death if you want to go here because he was just, I can't stand someone who never says, look at what I have or is thankful for anything. It was never good enough. It was never like there are people who would die to have what you have right now.
Well,
put it in context and he could never do that.
But, I have a soft spot in my heart for that gentleman because I wouldn't be here without
him. Well, everything fell into place. I just happened to be calling down to Jim McGuinn because of the fact that, I was actually checking out a potential gig up in New York. And I remember it, Preston. And I remember saying to my wife, Claire, should I try this? I think it's solid. I work well with Preston, though we really had not been in the same room for much time.
Nope.
And I said, let's give it a shot.
You know, I do have a box of air check tapes in my basement from the show because we lost most of them.
Case, I've got probably 200.
Yeah.
I've got a ridiculous amount of them.
We're going to need to sometime when things kick back in and start scoping and start having somebody listen to who might have an idea of what would matter or what would be worth a damn and chronicle that stuff to start to insinuate some clips from those days back in, because we have some stuff that is maybe aired once that never saw the light of day again.
But I don't even know quality-wise how good it's going to be.
It's probably not going to be awesome.
Yeah. Right now, we're going back to Kathy's dance party.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Wait. Is that the wrong tape?
What is that?
It just says mix on it.
By the way, what you're experiencing right now is the joy of cassettes that you could always grab a cassette. When you found like a bag or a cassette in the bottom of like a school bag or something, what's on this?
Oh, we
the whole art or the joy of just, oh my God, I can't believe this is it.
We used to play, if you were going to be driving for a little while, basically roulette. You'd have a bag full of cassettes. You just reach in there and whatever one you pulled out. was the one you had to listen to. And sometimes it was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to the Grateful Dead right now.
Yeah, so everything I have are mixes. The only full albums or full tapes are Steve Miller Band.
You're a Steve Miller fan.
And REM was in here somewhere.
All right, hold on. What is
that? That might be a Y100 tape.
All right, hang on. A little bit more Cassie's. This is Kathy's dance party.
Right.
Coming at you. Everybody on the dance floor.
Let me get to the next song. And then Casey's got this mystery cassette.
All right. Again.
There's nothing on it.
People, there are whole groups of people out there, Preston, who never lived in this world, who never knew the simple joy of putting in something and not knowing what you're going to get.
Yep. Like a little bit more.
By the way, I think that this this audio sounds pretty good on
it
this
does,
tape,
yeah.
Right? I think this was from my cousin, DJ Dan Shea,
okay.
Who used to DJ at the Princeton and Avalon.
Okay.
Remember, he came in. He now owns Meatball U in Westchester.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a DJ for years, and he kind of retired from that and opened up Meatball U. But okay. I think that this must have been a party for me, and I think he made this. I think
it says
that's,
party mix.
I think that's why
all
the
right,
audio was
so good.
All
right.
This is Dancing Machine from Jackson 5. Great song. Dancing.
Dancing machine.
Dancing machine. Oh, baby.
Dancing.
She's a dance machine.
Oh, baby.
All right, let's put the mystery cassette.
Yeah, mystery cassette.
And then is Ryan still cool? Aries, I saw the hotline ring, and we'll break and come back with him in a moment. All right.
Is this my mystery or
no,
yours?
This is our mystery.
Okay.
Where'd you find this case?
It was in my little
satchel.
It was in my. It's a man bird.
It was where?
In this little cabinet that I have behind my little workstation here.
For an expansion of that security force, without which I think a lot of our other
car certified center destination for more.
Okay. Somebody taped over something. That's what that first part was. Some kind of community affairs program or something.
How do you define beauty?
What is this?
Is it simply determined?
It's just
a stop set.
Yeah.
Commercials.
Is Lane Bryant a truly beautiful
Lane Bryant.
Lane Bryant.
An expressiveness all her own and a body as curvy as nature intended for.
Oh, yeah. All right, hang on.
Are you looking for exercise clothing?
Let me fast forward and see what we get. Might still be commercials.
14 through 28 and 36C through 48 triple D.
48 triple D.
Talking about big old biddies.
This is the best of bra commercials from the 90s.
Yeah.
What is this?
What pervert recorded this?
Depending on where you're driving around, very heavy traffic west on the Schuylkill from Bear Avenue. All the
who is,
way
who is that?
Schuylkill.
Might be from a different radio station. It's got to be.
And we have the eastbound side of the Schuylkill running. That's
got to be either Y100.
Is it just jumping like that?
And then it just stopped. It just
went away. That was good. I wonder if they got the job.
It was Brent Porsche's air check.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I'm going to include a bra commercial.
Yeah. They'll love that. 48 double D. Who doesn't love that? Or triple D. Yeah, there's nothing else on there.
All right.
Okay. Interesting.
And that is what you had to do with a cassette if you didn't label it. You had to pop it in and you had to sit there and listen to it and write down everything.
Yeah.
Or you just scrapped it and you taped over it. So that was yet another little joy of cassette tapes.
It was fun, though. It was cool to do that.
And I was hoping my award-winning Wendy's commercial was going to be on one of those hair check.
What's your award-winning Wendy's commercial?
I don't know. I won an air award for best like local spot.
Really?
Yeah. I sang and everything.
What? It, like a jingle or something like that?
No. It was like hot and juicy.
and you sang that?
No, well, so I did that, and then I went in and I sang something. And do you remember like? I go, hot and juicy. Do you don't remember?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
So you did sing in the commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. All right,
here's one more Kathy's party tape. Ooh, Brick House. House. Oh, nice case.
All right, interesting.
Can I talk to you? I think Mike's in love with me. he says he wants to be friends, but everything's very suggestive on the mixtape.
Oh my god, I had no idea.
I don't just give Parcheesi up to any boy.
I didn't give it to any boy at all.
I'm gonna look for some cassettes around the house. You know what? Hang on.
What?
I have cassettes.
Maybe a cassette slipped into your porn collection in your bag?
No. Next to the porn, I keep cassettes.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
This could be like a weekly segment.
We got a break case?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we have this guest who's been scheduled.
I know. Hang on a second here.
Let's there.
See. I might have.
See what's in there?
I might have old air checks in there.
There's a perch.
There's my old porn. You know what? What did I do with them? I think I have my Paul McCartney interview in here.
Where do you keep your fresh porn?
That's online now, Steve. sorry about this, guys.
It's all right. You have many pouches in that bag.
I know, and I can never find the stuff I'm looking for.
Is that the bag you left a banana in for like a week?
No, it was a different similar bag.
All right.
Hang on. Oh, you know what's in here.
It's exciting. I don't know. It's exciting to me. It's like opening up gifts on Christmas morning. Right, you never know.
Pocket I'm going to look in.
All right.
It's
just syringes.
Wait. In there. No. Sorry, guys.
No, it's all right. Huh. Well, listen, we'll make a more concerted effort and start to collect. Now that we know we have access to, and then perhaps what we can do is do a line out from this stereo unit into the board.
During the commercial break, I will dig deep into this and see what I can find.
We wanted that authentic boombox sound for the cassettes.
Yes. All right. So listen, let's take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we're going to geek out with Ryan Airy, who is with Screen Crush News, and they're the ones who find all the Easter eggs, all the plot holes, describe everything for you for every awesome superhero genre movie, TV show,
everything.
All that stuff. So we'll get into it with him in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR. Streaming on WMMR.com, our mobile app, your smart speaker, and now at radio.com.
Our next guest does the stuff that we absolutely love. Screen Crush YouTube channel has all these videos that break down episodes of your favorite genre stuff, so superheroes and fantastical things. And they not only they break down plots and things like that, they dive into Easter eggs and holes in the story and stuff like that. And like here, I'm going to give you an example, Steve, of an Easter egg thing that blows me away. So in WandaVision, which is just loaded with those things.
Jammed.
Like at some point, the clocks in the background in a room, so they had noticed that the hands on the clocks were in the shape of semaphore and spelled out X-Men. I mean, you know, it takes expert-level geekiness, nerdiness, intelligence to figure all this stuff out.
I'm glad someone else does it
for us.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because you would miss everything.
Yeah. So we want to welcome from Screen Crush News, Mr. Ryan Airy to the show. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man. So, listen, I'm in awe of what you guys do. How many people are involved in Screen Crush and making this thing happen?
There's me. And,
your dog.
Is it just you? It can't be just you.
My dog, Doug, he's at the end of every video. He's a big help. No, we have Screen Crush is also a website. So the editor-in-chief of the site is named Matt Singer. He's fantastic. He's the best in the biz. And he's also a big comic fan, so he'll notice a few things. And I've got a couple interns who will help me edit the videos. But, man, for the most part, like, everything you see in there is written or noticed by me. And then I also, like, we'll do a shout-out on Twitter and say, hey, anybody notice anything? And if it's something that I think is viable and I didn't catch it, I give them credit for it.
Okay. It's too comprehensive. I mean, obviously, you have a great working knowledge of all of this stuff. But I assume, I mean, on average, and give us a percentage, on your first watch through, say on a WandaVision episode, do you get about 80% of the Easter eggs in the first viewing? How many times do you view it to get your list that eventually ends up in one of the videos on the YouTube channel?
I'd say first viewing, I get about 90-95%.
Well, you're a superhero, for Christ's sake.
Well, the last episode, I only had time to watch it once because we were like, I was trying to put out like Ending Explained and all these other videos about it. So
right.
Like, I couldn't go through it more than once. And then sometimes, like there was the episode that was about the Dick Van Dyke Show. And I'd seen that episode. It was all about this one episode with like walnuts and a dream and space aliens. And I thought, there's a reason they put that in there. So I had to stop. I watched that and I watched Malcolm. So like that took forever because I had to watch like four other episodes of TV shows just to understand what the heck was going on in that episode.
It happened again with Brady Bunch too. There was a doll that Vision was changing, and I'm afraid that there might be some spoiler alerts in here. So just you know, if there are, I apologize in advance. But and then there were Brady Bunch references later in WandaVision, and so I'm curious as to like. You know, and by the way, you do really quick turnaround from WandaVision being debut on Disney Plus on Friday. The videos are out the same day or the next day. How do you get those out that quickly?
Well, they're out the same day.
Yeah.
Part of it is, well, to the doll you just mentioned, that was from a Brady Bunch episode called Kitty Carryall.
Kitty Carryall.
I remember it.
Yeah. Cindy has this doll. She loves it. She pretends like it's real. A doll gets lost, and everybody, there's a mock trial. It turns out the dog did it. Spoiler alert for a 40-year-old sitcom.
Right.
But, you know, so that episode, you could just look at that, and even if you only casually know about Marvel stuff, you can go, well, Vision's an artificial life form. The Wanda pretends is real, so, you know, that Wanda thinks is real. So that's, there's a lot of symbolism there, man. So if you really want to do this for the right way, you have to always ask yourself, like, they could have put any episode of the Brady Bunch in. Why that one?
Well, the truth of the matter is that sometimes there's lazy writing when you're dealing with the MCU or the mm-hmm. now the Marvel television universe. They're a higher standard. They're obviously there is very little happenstance to what you're seeing on screen. And so does it then on a similar note, does it piss you off when you see the lazy writing? For example, Preston and I were very excited. Casey, everybody here, Nick and Kathy, I know, is in a little bit of superhero stuff, excited for the Wonder Woman sequel, and yet it was full of lazy writing. Does it piss you off when that's the case?
No. You know, the thing is, when it comes to these movies, there have been so many over the past 25 years. I mean, I'm a comic book fan going way back. So the first time I saw X-Men, I was like, oh, I hope they get it right. You know, all the, like, the, it was important to me they get it right. But at this point, I mean, I've had my heart broken. Broken bad.
You're a beaten man.
It's kind of like, you know, I'm like I'm on my fifth wife, you know? Like, I don't, like, for me, they can't hurt me anymore. But with Wonder Woman 1984, that for me, that was a special occasion because for Christmas, my wife, who is amazing and my first and only wife, rented out a whole theater for us to watch it.
Nice.
So it was my first time in the theater since last February. And so for me, it was magical. I mean,
okay.
I think the actual movie was good, but I kind of don't want to rewatch it because so many people have gripes with it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back and go, oh, that memory's ruined.
Well, let me ask you, in your analysis, when you're watching something and you're thinking about the website and the YouTube channel and all this stuff and then the work that you're going to do around it, are you able to actually enjoy the film like the rest of us might be able to?
Not on the same level, no.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between when I watched, say, Star Wars The Force Awakens before I had this job,
mm-hmm.
and I could just leave the theater and say, that was great, or complain about this or that, and like what I had to do in Rise of Skywalker, which was go to a press screening, be super jaded, write down every little thing that I saw, and wait, did I miss something? And you have to always think about it analytically. Now, that being said, when I saw Avengers Endgame, I was the same deal, press screening, you know, my notebook. And in that notebook, I kept the notes because there's at one point when they all start coming out of the portals and stuff and on your left, I just like was furiously scribbling down everything I saw. And at one point I just wrote, so happy.
Well, yeah, and it is.
It made you feel like a kid again, you know? Like, that's what you want from these movies, to just, like, turn your brain off and feel great.
I almost look at you as a screen crush as taking a bullet for us because you cannot enjoy it the same way we do. And, in fact, I always say, okay, now I'll go watch the video or I'll go check it out because there's going to be a fleshing out of what I liked. And we pretty much see eye to eye on everything. Long ago, we all here sort of adopted the notion that you don't have to redefine everything. Just give us an enjoyable, like, you know, as I said to Casey a long time ago with the first Transformers movie, I want to see big robots beat the crap out of each other. And that's what I got. I don't need to redefine cinema every time I go out to see one of these things.
But when it does happen, when you get something that really does, like, you know, when it gives you the feels, you know, that's just a special thing. Or when you see something that's really reinvents everything, like Logan or Thor Ragnarok, which is my favorite MCU movie. Like, those are just, you know, for me, that's when you go, oh, okay, good, this can be something different. It does make you look like want to look at things in a more analytical way than just robots hitting each other, which I have no problem with.
So that brings me back to WandaVision, because I loved it, and everybody has acknowledged that the first two episodes were a little slow, but they were slow burn episodes, you know, and people that bailed, I think, missed out on where it was going. And, you know, I follow you on Twitter, Ryan, and you know, I've seen some of the comments, and there were people who really didn't enjoy it. What would you say to people who didn't get into WandaVision? Because I think maybe they might have missed out on something that they didn't even realize they were missing out on.
There's a big complaint from Marvel movies from people where they'll go, well, they're cookie cutter. You know, they're all the same thing. And it's true, like, just because comic books tend to bear certain similarities, some of the movies do have similar origin stories or action set pieces. But you can't say that and then be like, well, I don't know, it was weird. It's like sitcoms, I don't get it, you know?
Yeah.
And people who what I did not understand is people who complained about, oh, I just want to watch it all at once. And I was like, this is how TV works. This is what TV used to be, you know, up until about 2009 when Netflix started dropping House of Cards all at the same time, you know? So I loved it for that aspect, that I just got to approach everything from a sense of, I don't know what's happening. For once, I can watch these and not predict what's going on, even though, hey, I just got to, you know, I did predict a lot of the stuff.
You did.
I watched it wrong, but I also predicted a lot of the stuff, just saying, you know.
Yeah,
it's funny because I don't really. My son gets into the whole prediction thing, and I just want to be surprised.
Yes,
right? And I'll go back afterwards. You know, after it's all said and done, and go, okay, well, what did I miss? And you know, and what did this mean, and all that. But you know, there was some people positing that. Who's the Satan guy that they were saying?
Mephisto.
Mephisto. So, you know, and I was like, and my son would tell me these things. I'm like, I don't want to know. Because if it is Mephisto, I want to be surprised by, you know, said character or whatever. But I wanted to ask you about this because I still have not heard an explanation as to where Valkyrie went between Ragnarok and the very beginning of Infinity War.
Valkyrie... I presume she stayed with the Asgardians on the ship.
Okay.
I don't think she went anywhere.
Was she
even though you don't see her at the beginning of Infinity War, that opens with, I'm going to get super nerdy here.
Mm-hmm.
That movie actually opens with a distress signal voiced over by Kenneth Branagh, who directed the first Thor, where it's kind of hard to hear because it's all garbled, but he's basically saying, you know, we've ejected escape pods, we need help. It's like an SOS transmission. So presumably she was inside one of those, and they just didn't want to burden Infinity War with like one more character.
Well, so as Nick said, there's going to be some spoiler alerts here. And concerning WandaVision, which turned out, I think, to be the most, at least as it was on, the most popular show on Earth. It was just getting huge numbers.
Yeah.
So the Scarlet Witch, which, you know, we all have our comic book things that we were focused in on. I was aware of her, but did not know just how powerful her character is. So as we're going through the series and, you know, you begin to learn... she has the potential for great destruction. Is that potential going to port into the second Doctor Strange movie? Do you know?
Well, yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, we definitely know she's going to be in the movie because they announced that years ago.
Yeah.
I think this is where, like, you have to go, like, what's likely for the character, but also what's likely for this studio that's putting this together. At the end of WandaVision, spoilers, there's a thing that happens that's, ties into the show and very much makes you think that she's going to need help to further her story. So she could seek out Doctor Strange's help to go on this new quest that she has. I'm trying to avoid spoilers for people who haven't seen it. But she could also be seeking out somebody else's help who's not Doctor Strange, somebody like Baron Mordo, who is kind of teased as one of the next villains. He's a villain in the comics in the last movie. So maybe that could actually bring her in conflict with him, or kind of what I thought was likely. I mentioned this in the video. She's got this book at the end of the series called The Darkhold. It's a super evil book. It's like the One Ring in the Marvel movies. Like all the evils poured into this one book.
Right.
And I could see her going to help, you know, ask Doctor Strange for help, and them like having their little adventures or whatever. But then as soon as he sees her reading The Darkhold, you know, he slaps it out of her hand like Zach Morris slapping the caffeine pills out of Jesse Spano. Okay, can't use that, you know.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
It'll be cool to see where it is. It's just that's what's fun about it, though. There's like, yeah, I can just sit here and spin like five different options that would probably make five very good movies. That's what you want. You don't want to be able to predict what's going to happen before they even film the movie.
Ryan, you know, when Iron Man first hit and the MCU kicked off and this parade of amazing movies started coming out for people like us who were the comic book readers and like, oh, my God, they can actually do it right now. And now we have an absolute overload of this stuff, which is wonderful. I mean, and then surprise things are popping up like The Boys. Like, we didn't even know that was going to happen. And all of a sudden you get this amazing thing. Do you think we'll reach a burnout of this? Or, you know, I mean, because I could see the MCU going to, I don't know if it would peter out or not, or if people would get tired of it and want something else. What do you think about the future of this genre?
Well, okay, I'll go deep on my media criticism here with you. A lot of people compare, I think even Spielberg compared superhero movies to Westerns, saying the genre was going to fizzle out at some point, which is fair. But Westerns, which were, you know, the biggest genre in American cinema, basically from the time of Stagecoach through somewhere where they fizzled out in the 1970s, those didn't die out because everybody said, I'm tired of cowboy movies. You know, I've seen every cowboy story I can see. Those, you know, TV shows, everything, those were telling the exact same story for decades, and nobody cared that it was repeated. They found comfort in it. In the same way, superhero movies are given us sky beams and good guys and bad guys and fights and fights and capes and all that stuff. So when that shift does happen, and it will, you know, these things always turn around like a wheel someday, it'll be for some societal reason. It'll be because people, for whatever reason, maybe aren't looking for black and white cape heroes. Maybe we'll have a cinema revolution like we did in the 70s where people gravitate more toward independent movies. If I had a guess, I would say action movies like John Wick or Fast and Furious would kind of pivot and take the place. Or maybe movie star-driven, you know, vehicles, which you don't really have anymore, like we did in the 90s and 80s and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I think someday it will, but I don't think it'll be because the movies get bad or people are tired of specifically seeing these movies. I just think something else will come along.
Okay. That grabs the attention, yeah. And that's fair. If you stop and think about it, too, the same things that would fuel or that propel the Westerns are apparent in the Star Wars was an answer to, you know, it was a space Western.
Yeah.
So it's all sort of the same thing. I wanted to ask you, Ryan, about the, so we've sort of built up a bit of a friendship with Zack Snyder, and I love his stuff, and we're all fans of a lot of the stuff that he's done. What have you heard about the Zack Snyder's Justice League, the cut, the HBO Max extended now? They're just going to present it as a four-hour film instead of the little episode deal. Have you heard any advance on it?
I have a screener for it that I haven't finished, and I'm not allowed to talk about it.
Okay.
Until Monday. But I will say this. I'll say the same thing I was saying before I ever got the screener. Regardless of how you feel about Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman or any of those things, I am really, really, really glad that he was allowed to come back and complete the story, you know, that he poured his heart and soul into. And I read that he didn't even take any money from Warner Brothers, but he kept all these other people employed during the pandemic. And I think that's just wonderful. Like, what a great thing for directors.
He's a good dude.
And people
to
make these movies. He and Deborah both seem like they're just great people.
Just a quick question concerning that. Will Joss Whedon ever work again in light of everything that's been happening?
Ooh. Isn't that strange?
Like, it's very strange.
Years ago, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Like, if you know anybody would have paid money to have Joss Whedon come along and gin up their franchise, he would have been the first to do the X-Men. I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard of many things specific levied against him, no criminal charges or anything like that, but I'm not sure. I don't think that, like, Marvel would hire him back.
Joss Whedon did the original Avengers movie, did Ultron. I mean, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Buffy, you know, rich history. Yeah. But he has a lot of people, especially Ray Fisher, you know, who played Cyborg, and a lot of people on the Justice League set saying he was insufferable and a horrible person to work with.
And, you know, when you look back at his accomplishments, you have to remember he godfathered MCU Phase 2.
Yeah.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, Winter Soldier. Like, he was the one who, when he got James Gunn's script, said, I think this needs more James Gunn in it. And when the studio parted ways with Edgar Wright, he was very public with his disapproval. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I, I love his stuff. Like, I really wish that he
was another person.
I wish it wasn't true, but I think it is.
I think you're right.
People coming forward.
I think you're right.
Yeah, sometimes you have to pay the consequences of your actions, and maybe that's the case
with
Jaws.
You always have to pay.
Yeah.
I don't care like how good of a movie the guy makes. If he did it, he did it.
I agree.
You know, I don't care who it is, right?
Sometimes, well, anyway, I wanted to ask about Falcon and Winter Soldier because I'm really excited about that. You know, the pandemic has obviously been awful for a lot of people for a year, but we've gotten some really good TV to watch during the during this pandemic. Thank God for that because it's helped us get through. So WandaVision just wrapped up. Falcon and Winter Soldier is right on the horizon. What do you know about it and what can we anticipate?
I know the same thing everyone else knows from trailers. I haven't seen a screener or anything yet. Now, I can say that looking at the comics that it's based on, there's the potential for some pretty awesome spy stuff. There's this whole storyline in the comics about Captain America meets these this private company who's augmenting people, making them super strong. So it's kind of like the super soldier serum, but it's been like privatized. And it looks like they're having an element of that. And the guy who's the government is going to pick to take over as Captain America, is this guy named John Walker, was a product of that program. And he is, you know, Captain America is always portrayed as kind of a leftist, like he came out of this New Deal era, you know, that kind of shaped his worldview. But John Walker is very much a red state guy. So in those comics, and these are from like the late 80s, it made a really interesting contrast to see his point of view as Cap when he was Captain America as opposed to Cap. So they have the potential in this show. I mean, if they wanted to tell some political storytelling and to kind of get into that whole argument, they could really do that here.
I had a question for you because I love the Easter egg segments that you guys do. And when Watchmen was out on HBO, that was so full of each and every episode. Do you think pound for pound that had more Easter eggs than any other show you've seen?
Yeah, I think it did more than WandaVision because Watchmen by its nature, if you go read the comic book, every panel has a double meaning, at least a double meaning, sometimes a triple, quadruple meaning. Characters parallel each other. Nothing a character says is accidental. And they masterfully did that in the HBO show. But not only that, but when you watch the show, it's not just like references to the comic books, but it has this what they would call clockwork storytelling, where, you know, a clock has no unnecessary parts inside of it. And the same thing is true in the Watchmen show. So when you watch it, It's this rare gift of storytelling where you can look at every single thing that happens and say, wait, so what's the double meaning there? What's the triple meaning there? An example is this incredibly rich woman, a trillionaire, shows up at this couple's house and she wants their farm. And in return, she offers them a baby because they went to one of her fertility clinics and she cloned them a baby. And she puts on an egg timer. And like at the end of this timer, you don't get the sale and I'm taking your baby. And that timer was a metaphor for an egg timer because the couple sells eggs, but also a metaphor for the mother's biological clock ticking.
Right.
You know, and it's just filled with everything. I mean, I love you. I'm going to stop talking because if you let me talk about Watchmen, I'm going to go into the next show.
It was unbelievable.
Well, I want to go back to Marvel Universe. I watch pretty much a Marvel movie every single day. And so it's always on my brain. And I wanted to ask about Captain America. Because at the end of Endgame, obviously, he does what he does. And then in the beginning of Far From Home, I think they indicate that he died or whatever. But so I'm curious to know, like, well, what did he do when he did go back and live his life? Did he live that, like, in secret?
He's giggling.
I'm laughing. No, I'm laughing because if you talk to Marcus and McFeely, the guys who wrote Endgame, and you talk to the directors, Joe and Anthony Russo, you'll get two completely different answers.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So this is some deep time travel stuff, right? So whenever in the comics, and I think in Endgame they imply this is true, whenever they time travel, you can't change your past, right?
Right.
You just can't do it. So what they're actually doing when they alter history, like Loki getting away or whatever at the end of The Avengers, is they're creating a divergent timeline, like in Back to the Future 2. Okay, so those are divergent. Every time you go back, you change the past, you haven't changed your present, you've created an alternate timeline.
Right.
And there's an infinite number of these alternate timelines out there in the universe. So when Cap went back, he was able to travel to these individual alternate timelines and deliver the stone. Marcus and McFeely have said that he returned to his own timeline in the past and lived out a life with Peggy in secret, which is dumb and makes no sense because why would he leave Bucky alone to suffer? Why would he let Vision die? All these, like Natasha, why wouldn't he do something to help? It seems very out of character for Steve. Whereas the directors say he lived in an alternate timeline and then returned to that spot, although not with the same machine, which is strange, to give Sam the shield.
Right. It, that's what I had heard, and I think it was what Kathy here, it was her theory as well the whole time, right, Kathy?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I didn't
thought
say
well.
Anything because yeah.
You didn't want to ruin
you
it.
Wanted, you wanted right. Ryan to roll that.
It's best when you discover it yourself.
Once you get into the timeline things, my head starts to hurt, and I'm like, I can't get too deep into that. All that paradox.
I agree, and let me ask you if you agree with this, Ryan. I think it could be a wonderful tool, and I also think, and we were talking about this with Kevin Smith, that it can rob a storyline of any emotional impact. It's one of my issues with when they get too entrenched in multiverses because, don't worry, we're just going to go to this version of another version of the Earth, and that guy will be there. And it tends to extract finality from a story, you know?
Well, multiverse stories have, for me, they kind of ring of corporations consolidating all their IP. So if Sony does bring Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield into this new Spider-Man movie, then they're basically saying, hey, don't worry if you didn't like that Spider-Man movie. It still exists. It's still here.
Right.
And we're going to put all our characters in the one movie. But one of the brilliant things that Endgame did with time travel is they basically – it's like in Austin Powers. When they explain time travel in Austin Powers, both characters looked at the camera and said to the audience, don't worry about it. It's yeah. fine. So yeah. they added in a scene in Endgame in the reshoots where they talk about time travel movies, and they basically say, just don't worry about it.
Yeah,
he basically says that.
It is a movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to explain it.
They
even
mentioned Hot Tub Time Machine.
They do it in there. Just have a good time. It's fine. Star Trek, the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek, they did the same thing. They were like, wait, what's going on? And then Uhura says, it's an alternate reality. It basically is telling Star Trek fans, just calm down and enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, that's when you can relax and check, you know, suspend your disbelief and just take it for the ride. It's much more enjoyable.
It gives you beautiful moments, as it did with Endgame.
Yeah. So, what are you in deep now, right? With Screen Crush, as far as putting stuff together, Ryan. What's because WandaVision wrapped up. Obviously, next is going to be Falcon and Winter Soldier. Is that the next big thing that's going to be the project?
Well, Snyder Cut comes out the day before Falcon the Winter Soldier. So I've got both of those kind of happening at the same time, which is a lot of fun. It means I won't be sleeping.
Hey, what are the... I was going to say, what are the non-typical titles that we... Because I saw something on Queen's Gambit. What are some other things outside of superheroes and space aliens and things like that?
I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I wasn't able to cover Discovery this year, but when Picard comes back, I'll cover that or Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Star Wars, like you just said. I did Queen's Gambit because Queen's Gambit was written by my favorite author, and it's based on my favorite book.
Okay.
And years ago, I was going to make a documentary on him, and I was like, oh, let's just do this thing. And you can see it on the channel. Like, that video hasn't found its audience yet, and it came out, obviously, like months after the show was really hot. But I would love to do... You know, my personal taste, like my favorite movie of all time is Network. I'm a big
Network, Patty Chayefsky. Yeah.
That's it, baby. That's it.
One of the best scripts ever written.
Yep. I think it is the best.
Yeah.
And so I was able to weave that into WandaVision because I think it addressed some of the same issues about TV kind of telling us lies to sell us things. But no, I mean, anything that I think will do well and we'll have an audience for, I'm not off limits to any genre. Any stories?
Okay, excellent. Well, listen, for those who are not aware, it is it's a fantastic service that you guys provide at Screen Crush, both on ScreenCrush.com and on the YouTube channel, and it's done expeditiously. Like the soon as you want to know about something, the videos are out and they are thorough. So kudos to the work, Ryan, and we wouldn't mind geeking out with you another time if that's all right. If we give you a call.
You got my number.
Excellent. All right. We appreciate it, man. Have a good one. Ryan Airy, guys.
Yeah.
From Screen Crush. And it's an extensive library.
There's a ton of
stuff that you can get from them. So that was really cool. Hey, I wanted to point out something. I know we're going to wrap here in a moment. But today is the one-year anniversary of the CDC and the whole naming it an official,
worldwide pandemic.
Yeah, the World Health Organization a year ago today announced that it was a global pandemic.
Wow. One year ago.
Sorry, guys. I didn't get you anything.
Listen.
And you're usually good with that.
I am.
You are.
Damn it. Sorry, guys.
So, you know, it's been an interesting year nonetheless, or 365 days, to say the least, I should say.
Yeah.
But I can't believe that it's already moved along. It seems really long, and it seems like yesterday in the same breath, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the beginning of it all, I was having, you know, you live enough life and you know that things can run those dual realities where, and I said, even at the beginning, I stand by it now, there's going to be a time where you're going through your sock drawer or whatever, and there's going to be the mask there, and you're going to go, oh, yeah. And then that's the thing. So
oh yeah,
it becomes this is how it is, and we have you know a lot to be encouraged about. Obviously, there's a lot of sadness that took place, and a lot of stuff that still continues. But you know it's okay to take a breath and say, all right, we're moving along, we're going in the right direction, and just be thankful for what you have, and hopefully, if you're in a hard way right now, things will get better for you in short order.
This is probably maybe too open-ended of a question, but do you have a favorite part and a least favorite part of the last year?
I know what you mean by that. It's a weird question to ask.
Are we talking about favorite wars?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Banana bread.
Banana bread was cool.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah, that was near the beginning, too.
It was, yeah. It's what helped get a lot of people through initially.
Yeah.
I have an answer. My favorite part has been the athleisure wear that has been super popular because people aren't going anywhere. And worst part is, at this point, I'm bored. I want to go out and do something and go to an event and see other people.
Kathy, speaking of the athleisure wear, I was reading an article the other day about how even in Paris now that they have backed off of sexy, uncomfortable lingerie, and they credit the change in dress over the last year for that. That comfort is exactly what is leading the fashion industry right now.
Comfort, absolutely, for the past year has led the fashion industry. That athleisure wear that we talked about, like, however many years ago it was on its way out. It was going out, and people were no longer going to wear joggers. The pandemic happened, and it brought it all back.
Okay, I could see that. You know what? One of my favorite parts about what we've had to deal with over the past year has been playing games with my family.
Yes,
we have done that more this year than ever, and that's cards, board games, whatever it may be, video games. And that's social time. That's interaction time.
Yeah,
I have been loving it, and so that's been solid.
There's been, and to be honest, so for us, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of impact. We at the beginning said, if we're going to convey normalcy, then we come in and do our jobs, and we don't, you know, we want everything to be sounding normal for you. So that was part of the deal. So it hasn't shifted much. And then you see people, and I talk to people or friends or reconnect with people who have had their entire lives turned upside down. And I'm thankful that I didn't have to go through that. And you feel the empathy for what they have to go through. But there are things that will be in the positive column. In all this horror, there's stuff that like that, Preston, that reconnected with family and friends.
Yep. Yeah, it's important. And I often forget how lucky I am.
Yeah.
And I really should be. I should have more gratitude on a, you know, pretty
daily
basis and consistent basis. And I was sitting down talking to my mom yesterday. And, you know, she was, you know, she's retired, but she was volunteering with Divine Providence. And so these were our adults with developmental disabilities. And when we were talking about it yesterday, because we're on the year anniversary, and, so she was there as a volunteer, but there were other people there that were there. That was their job. That was their livelihood. Yeah. And she's like, they haven't worked in a year, you know, and some of them were able to pivot and get, because some of the clients there still needed help. So they were able to do like one-on-one type of stuff. And then others weren't. And I was like, wow. You know, and that was the case for a lot of people out there. And I've come into work every single day since. And it's important for me to remember that there are a lot of people out there that have, you know, been suffering for the past year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, to mark this grim anniversary, NBC News is going to be launching a primetime special. It'll be anchored by at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. by nightly news anchor Lester Holt and today co-anchor Savannah Guthrie. So that is going to be tonight at 8 p.m., I believe, or wait a second here. So, yeah, it's called COVID 1 Year Later, Life After Lockdown. Oh, that's at 10 p.m. on NBC. with Holton Guthrie, and also set to anchor a special report at 8 p.m. With President Biden scheduled to deliver a primetime address to the nation. So a bunch of people are going to be appearing on that tonight on NBC, and I'm sure some other networks have some things planned as well. So 1 year ago today that that officially went down. Wow. All right, before we take a break, I do want to mention that we have a new Daily Rush video. It's called Showering with a Demon. While discussing showering techniques, Tom, who is either an actual demon or just someone with a terrible phone connection, called in. And you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. Take a look-see when you get a chance. And you know what? Have a cocktail while you're doing it. I have a case of beer to give away.
Ooh.
Victory Brewing's new 6% hazy IPA, Brotherly Love. And we'll take caller number 17 at 215-263-WMMR. It's a beer with purpose. Now available in 12 packs at Trenton Road Takeout in Levittown. To learn more about this beer and its mission, visit victorybeer.com/brotherlylove. Cheers. Caller 17, got to be at least 21. Good luck to you. We'll be right back.
In the Zoom room with Brian Johnson, chatting about AC/DC's 17th album. Plus, check out new music from The Offspring, Green Day, and Foo Fighters. Search keyword deal for MMR's Big Friggin' Deal. Two tickets to the Crayola Experience for just $23 while supplies last. WMMR.com.
10 o'clock and it's 55 degrees.
Oh, love it.
We'll be up in the 70s in just a couple hours. Right now, we're going to do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the U.S. Digestive Health. Colonoscopy beats cancer. Schedule your screening with Pennsylvania's most experienced GI network at usdigestivehealth.com. All right, we'll begin this portion of the Bizarre File with this very interesting story. A doctor who killed his lover with cocaine on his penis has been ordered to pay compensation to the family. Now, when I say his lover with cocaine on his penis, I don't mean his... I mean he killed this person by using the cocaine on his penis.
So how would that work?
Dr. Andreas...
How big is this guy's penis?
Daver Niederbilker.
Niederbilker?
Or Bichler. I think it's Bickler. Was previously jailed over his after his lover overdosed when he sprinkled cocaine on his penis. And he now has
been glazed donut.
Ordered to pay compensation to the victim's family after they pursued a civil lawsuit. I guess he put a lot on there, got into her internally, and killed her. Yvonne M., age 38, was a former patient of his, and she had died after overdosing on cocaine that he placed on his unit. She collapsed at the doctor's home, and it's in Halberstadt, Germany.
Was death the intent, or was she just trying to give her, like, a thrill?
Before tragically dying later in the hospital. Well, the doctor was found to have carried out further crimes.
Oh.
Between September 2015 and February 2018, when he drugged and sexually assaulted three other women.
Okay.
So I doubt he meant to kill her, but he meant to do something.
Something really freaky.
During the investigation of the crimes, it was discovered that he had laced lipstick, champagne glasses, and toothpaste with cocaine. Yvonne's family opened a civil lawsuit for wrongful death after the surgeon was sentenced.
Gosh, he really likes cocaine.
The court has now convicted him and ordered him to pay compensation to the victim's family.
That's horrible. And it would be absorbed into the body immediately.
Yeah, I guess so. An accident involving a student driver left a woman badly injured. Police say the woman was teaching her 14-year-old son how to drive at their home on Saturday evening. And she fell over. She blacked out, and her son panicked, stepped on the gas by mistake, and ran over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's in critical condition at El Paso Hospital. No further details are available.
This means he's going to have to wait for his license.
The longtime treasurer of a church was arrested this week after admitting to state troopers that he stole at least $150,000 from church coffers and spent a large portion of that money on a pornographic website.
So he created his own pornographic website, or he was visiting?
No. He was visiting.
Okay.
I've always wanted
to run a pornographic website.
Glenn Yathers is charged with theft by deception and theft by unlawful taking in connection with writing $150,606 to himself from the accounts of St. Paul Lutheran Church. The transactions occurred between 2015 and 2019. The author, who served as church treasurer for 12 years, was initially approached about 2 years ago by church council members who were concerned that bills were not getting paid and deposits were not being made into church accounts in a timely manner.
We're seeing bills from Pornhub.
At one point, the utilities of the church were shut off and the church almost shut down due to Yathers not paying bills.
Oh, boy.
When initially approached by church council about numerous checks written to himself, Yathers denied any wrongdoing, claiming that he was paying church bills from his personal bank account and was simply reimbursing himself. He was eventually removed as treasurer after the church's troubles had continued. And apparently, yeah, he was visiting porn sites a lot.
Clearly.
Spent $150,000 on it.
That's a lot of money on porn.
A lot of money.
Didn't they notice that his hands were extraordinarily chafed?
I don't know. They chalked
Jesus
it up to
Christ.
Costco can be sued for privacy violations by a Phoenix area man who alleges a pharmacist joked with his ex-wife about an erectile dysfunction prescription that he had twice canceled. The ruling allows the man's lawsuit to proceed, but sets a high bar for him to win. He must show, by clear and convincing evidence, that the store and its pharmacist did not act in good faith when the woman was told about the prescription.
Huh.
But it's an important decision because, for the first time, the state Supreme Court ruled that lawsuits can be brought here under state law for violations of the federal health care privacy law, commonly known as HIPAA. The company argued that the federal law does not allow private citizens to sue, but the court rejected that, saying that the law's standards can be used to show privacy violations in state court. Now, the ruling mainly upholds the 2019 State Court of Appeals ruling that revived the lawsuits that the man filed after the pharmacist told his ex-wife about the prescription when she went to pick up another prescription with his approval. The man had called Costco twice to cancel the prescription before his ex-wife went to the store. But the pharmacist didn't do that. So the trial court had dismissed the case, citing the state immunity laws because HIPAA doesn't allow to private lawsuits. But let me explain a little bit of what happened. So the guy was in his 50s. He received a sample for erectile dysfunction drug from his doctor in 2016. Later got a call from Costco saying that a full prescription that he had not sought was ready for pickup. He canceled the prescription, and then he canceled it a second time about a month later when he called to check on an unrelated prescription and was told that the erectile dysfunction medication was still there. The man then authorized Costco to allow his ex-wife to pick up his regular prescription refill. And that's when the pharmacist told her about the ED pills and they joked about them.
Uh-huh.
The ruling says the man was trying to reconcile with his wife, but after the pharmacy incident, that failed. So,
okay. That is a weird story.
Yeah, that's why I put it in the B file, but yeah.
How big are Costco Viagra pills?
Yeah. They're about the size of a hubcap.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I mentioned they're huge.
All right, and we will wrap it up there. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you.
Right.
And I'm choking, so we got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Julie Jerkoff.
I don't know why. I just felt like playing it.
It's always a great one.
Disarm from Smashing Pumpkins on 93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. It's 20 minutes after 10 o'clock Thursday morning. Zipping right on by. $500 prize this week for Word of the Week prize. We'll give that away tomorrow.
What makes that clip good is that the what sounds to be a very pristine button-down woman clearly quickly went to jerk off. It's a phrase she was very
jerk off. Forgive me, Kirk off.
Jerk off is something I'm very familiar with, but that's not her last name. Please forgive me.
Julie Jerk off. Forgive me, Kirk off.
Robert Rimjob. I'm sorry, it's Radner.
Robert, her name is Jerkoff.
Yeah.
All right. That's great.
That's one of the best. All right. Time to ask that lesson question and give away a $100 cash prize. And the question that we're going to go with this morning. Hang on a second here. There it is. Okay. What reality show featured both Michael and Paris Jackson? Not really. What reality show featured both Michael and Paris Jackson? It was from earlier this morning in our 6 o'clock hour. It didn't happen in real life. It was just mentioned on the show. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We'll do the trash while we're waiting for that phone call from you.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Zippy's Bikes in Wildwood. Zippy's has hundreds of bikes in stock right now. You can shop in person or online at zippiesbikes.com and pick up your fully assembled bike the next time that you hit the shore. Promo code Casey and you get bonus Zippies bucks. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Rory McIlroy giving an update on his buddy Tiger Woods, saying the golf legend is doing much better since his horrific car crash. Woods has reportedly been feeling some discomfort, but that ended when doctors eventually removed a Yeti travel cup from his ass.
Yeah. Ooh.
British newspapers are reporting that there is a strong possibility that Prince Harry will be moved lower in the placement for succession. According to insiders, Harry's only chance of making it to the throne would be the death of the Burger King. Oh, so that's way down there. And finally, the newly single Wendy Williams has apparently been getting serious with a contractor named Mike Esterman. Esterman says he recently brought Wendy to a job site, and she actually pitched in by mixing cement with her fist.
Nope.
Big woman. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, to the phones we go. What reality show featured both Michael and Paris Jackson? And I am going to Mike. Steven knows the answer. Hey, Mike, how you doing, bud?
Good. How about you guys? Good morning, it.
Well, good morning, it, sir. All right. So, what show featured both Michael and Paris Jackson?
That would be American Chopper.
Yes. American Chopper is the correct answer. Mike, hang on, because for you, $100. Yep, that's it. $100, courtesy of Fox's new game show, Game of Talent. Which is, well, you can actually have another chance to win cash if you click contest.wmmr.com to vote for the MMR contestant with the most unusual talent that you think deserves to win $500. And check out an all-new episode of Game of Talents, a show where two teams must figure out the hidden talents of mystery performers, airing Wednesday right after The Masked Singer, and that is on Fox 29.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you this morning by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. Start each morning with a hot, fresh cup of Royal Farms coffee. It is made one cup at a time from the finest coffee beans in the world and freshly ground just seconds before serving. We'll start with this. Musician Youngblood has recruited stars like Tommy Lee, Machine Gun Kelly, Dave Navarro, Avril Lavigne, and more for his Youngblood Show live benefit. According to Rolling Stone, Youngblood Show Live will live stream today as part of YouTube's Music Nights series.
I assume it's not a tribute to the band The Youngbloods, right?
It is not. The Youngblood Show Live will take place from an unspecified independent Los Angeles venue, will benefit National Independent Venues Association Emergency Relief Fund. Youngblood said in a statement, "I'm craving to get back on the stage every single day and can't wait to do this with some incredible guests. It's been so hard for independent venues. I wanted to partner with NIVA because independent venues are the backbone of the music industry and give young artists a chance to have their music heard. Everyone has been missing a rock and roll show. I think it's about time that we give them one." The show will start streaming live from Youngblood's YouTube page at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Pearl Jam will headline the Band Together Washington benefit live stream on March 18th. It's kind of like a Youngblood's event here. The band will supply a vintage performance for the event, though, which will help Washington's struggling musical community, which continues to suffer in the wake of COVID. So yet again, they're trying to help out people in that industry that have had hard times over the past year. Although the event is free, viewers are encouraged to donate to help bring back Washington as a thriving source of art and culture. For more information, you can log on to keepmusiclivewa.com/btwa. I thought this would be for you and I, Steve. The long-awaited Bee Gees biopic will be directed by actor-director Kenneth Branagh via Paramount Pictures.
So this is with actors. This isn't a documentary.
Correct. Surviving Bee Gee Barry Gibb is very involved in the narrative of the film, and there will be an executive producer, according to screenwriter Ben Elton. He is writing the current draft of the script, but no release date announced for the still untitled film.
Any casting ideas, Hewitt? I think the thing you'd want to do is go with unknowns.
Yeah, there's nobody that there's no names that I've seen being kicked around at
this
point.
I think maybe Al Pacino is Barry Gibb. Staying alive. I can't hit it.
That would be great. Deadline reported Paramount got the life rights to the Gibb family estate and the rights to use their classic songs.
How deep is your love?
In a movie that could be very well follow the template of the Best Picture nominated blockbuster Bohemian Rhapsody, because the songs are so well crafted with exhilarating falsettos. I'm on board for that, man.
And he directed Thor. Yep. So maybe this will take place on Asgard.
Maybe
as well.
So. You would only hope so. That's the official music of Asgard.
What the hell is the Beaches? Everything's Chloe.
But Steve and I have been raving about the Bee Gees for ages.
Absolutely. So the documentary that was How Do You Mend a Broken Heart?
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Very well done. And then finally, another movie story in music news. Universal has snagged Rob Zombie to helm their upcoming new movie based on The Munsters. Now, the Zombie New Universal has officially
commented. Give me some of the theme, if you would, Case.
On the rumors. Murphy's Multiverse reports that production is set to kick off in Budapest in early May. Sherry Moon Zombie has reportedly been cast as Lily Munster. Well, Jeff Daniel Phillips from The Lords of Salem and Three from Hell will play Herman. Daniel Roebuck, who's no stranger to our show, and Richard Brake have also been cast in undisclosed roles, along with Jorge Garcia and Cassandra Peterson, also known as Elvira.
For me, one of the funniest things about the Munsters, and it's the cheapest, dumbest joke, is when people would show up to the house and they'd be terrified and they would speed up their exit, and they go running and jump over the fence or burrow into the ground. It's stupid, but it cracked me up every time.
NBC tried a run of the show back in 2012 with Brian Fuller's Mockingbird Lane, which starred Jerry O'Connell and Portia de Rossi, but the full series never happened. Rocky didn't like it.
That's right, it stinks!
So they passed on it. They were better than that, and they didn't prove it. So
you're better than that!
And there you go, that's what I have.
Herman!
And music news this morning. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll get back. We'll wrap it up. Letter of the day, word of the week prize. Don't miss it, because $500 is what we're giving away yet again this week. We'll be back in just a moment.
Stream MMR wherever you are on WMMR.com, our mobile app on your smart speaker, and at radio.com.
Right on the edge of a weekend. As Casey would say, you know, by the time we clock off here, it's officially no sad bro. It's Friday.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that has merit.
Mm-hmm. I'll go along with that. So it has been a fun program today. I want to thank Kathy Romano for bringing in her mixtapes.
Yes.
And letting us take a stroll down memory lane.
Yes.
In that.
Thank you for letting me stroll down memory lane. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Our best wishes to the guy who thought you...
So glad you guys informed me that he liked me.
It was clear.
As clear as a bell.
Yeah. And thank you to Casey for finding a cassette player that we could play that on.
Well, I found the one that you broke. I don't know who found the other one.
Yeah. You didn't find that one? That one was in engineering. The one that I broke was in sales. So. All right, well, anyhow.
It looks like, what were those? Circuit City. It looks like a Circuit City years ago.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. You know what? So I'm going to... We should poke around at home and see if we can find some of our own.
I'm gonna go looking
old cassettes. And now that we have this, I like rather than piping it through our board here and editing things, I like just plopping it in the old cassette player.
See what you get.
See what you get.
I had a cassette of me singing. You know how you could like go into a recording booth, and sing a song. It was essentially karaoke.
Yeah.
It was Ocean City Boardwalk. I was probably like 10 years old.
I want to hear that,
I can't. My mom probably would have that. The only one that I found was my brother doing Joy to the World by Three Dog Night.
What song did you do?
I did Heard It Through the Grapevine. So it had to have been right around or after the Big Chill soundtrack came out.
Okay.
Because I was big time into that whole soundtrack.
Right.
Excellent. All right. Well, anyhow, thank you. And also thank you, Robert Irvine.
Yes.
Woo! Restaurant Impossible and Dinner Impossible is beginning. They're both beginning new seasons tonight on Food Network.
Mission Impossible.
Dinner Impossible is back after 11 years, by the way.
That's awesome.
And he was saying that, that the Boardroom Spirits is going to become Irvine's.
Yeah.
Which should be interesting. They're out of Lansdale, local. So we'll keep an eye on that. And thank you to Ryan Airy from Screen Crush News. That guy has forgotten more about superhero and geeky stuff than we'll ever know.
The fact that he goes through and on a first viewing can come up with the hidden Easter eggs right off the bat says volumes.
It's incredible. Pierre is here. How you doing, man?
How do you do?
You're wearing one of my favorite shirts that you own. It's a baseball player swinging a bat and it says touchdown on it. That's one of my favorite shirts that you own. It's
great. Thank you.
And are you usually usually have your bag? I never see you wearing a bag like that before. Does that come in with you every day?
Yes.
Okay. You just normally drop it off before you come in here.
I forgot to take it off.
That's nice, though.
It is nice. A friend of mine suggested, because I am a little scattered, that I actually put my phone,
yep,
and wallet, and keys.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Key's not in there?
No, keys don't seem to be in there.
Oh, boy.
But at any rate, that I put them all in this man bag.
Yeah.
Purse, man purse.
Your satchel, yeah.
Yeah, put whatever. Your stuff back in there because you're going to lose it.
Thank
Do you remember the Overwatch show Kung Fu with David Carradine?
I do. Yeah.
So he had his herbs and his tea and his...
Right.
He'd go into one of these real Western... So, and yeah, he'd walk in and... Could I have some water, please? Yeah. What?
And then he'd invariably run into these horrible, closed-minded people, and he'd go pieces the way, and then start assailing.
Kick their throats out.
Yeah, right. It was great. It was great.
I do not want to fight.
Grasshopper.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, I like your bag. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
Like my bag and my shirt.
I do too. Yeah, you know what? And I always love the hat. So
that's three, man.
The glasses are nice. The glasses are nice.
You got the troika.
You got everything going on.
Troiking.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Troik, let's do the letter. You ready?
T baby.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
D as in cat.
C as in cat?
Cat.
Okay.
Kitty cat.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
And we have $500 part of T-Mobile G5 Fridays, where T-Mobile is giving away giving away 5Gs in the name of speed with the Preston and Steve show. And if you want another shot at winning $500, just click contest at WMMR.com, and you can enter to win one of five $500 online prizes. T-Mobile is the first to bring 5G speeds to cities and towns across America. Coverage and speed. Who says you can't have it all? T-Mobile, are you with us? That's the question. So we will give that away on tomorrow's program. And speaking of programs, what's up today, dude?
Well, thank you for asking. We will have Led Zeppelin. We will have ZZ Top. And it is 311. So, of course, on 311 day, we'll have a block of 311.
Nice.
I got a great live version of them covering Led Zeppelin at Festival Pier, and they go into Amber out of it, or a little bit of Amber, and then back into Led Zeppelin. It's really sweet.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, so that'll be a part of today's?
That'll be a part of the block.
Nice. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods and local flavors. Also brought to you by Salus University, the future of health science. You can visit salus.edu. And finally brought to you by U.S. Digestive Health. Colonoscopy, it beats cancer. Schedule a screening at usdigestivehealth.com. Tomorrow, from Saturday Night Live, Lorraine Newman.
Yes.
Will be on the show. It is a No Sad Bro Friday.
Yep.
And we'll give away, I have a feeling, I'm smelling a contest.
We definitely, yeah.
We have a few things to give away, so maybe we'll get to a contest tomorrow. So that is it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hi, this is Brett from Statewide Protective Service.
We're a private security company licensed to provide services in the state of New Jersey. We were founded by a team of active and retired police officers with the goal to provide services above industry standards. We are a first line of defense, providing a visual deterrent against criminal acts and rule violations on client property. Our officers have the training, education, and experience to handle any situation that arises in a professional and timely manner. So give us a call or visit us at statewideprotective.us. We look forward to serving you.
Next message.
Hi, this is Jeff from Ugly Mugs, Inc. We're an online-based local business out of Trenton, New Jersey. We specialize in hand-painted horror and pop-culture glassware and woodcraft. We also offer stickers, magnets, and handmade hair bows. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook by searching for Ugly Mugs, Inc. That's UGLYMUGSINC. Use code GUYSDUKES to receive 10% off. Thanks to Preston and Steve and WMMR for helping small businesses. Have a great day.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first.
Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.